is the MJ Morning Show podcast. Initiate procedure. Okay, the MJ Radio Network. We are go.
Now, stand by for the MJ Morning Show.
O'clock at the MJ Morning Show here on Q105, and I think this would be rather appropriate, even though that sounds like it's out of a 1969 Scooby-Doo cartoon. Hey, Scooby! Anybody here from Fester? Did Fester drive off the bridge in the fog?
Nope. Everybody on that bridge was driving like a maniac. Oh, thank God you're here safely.
Here's Fester.
It took me like 15 extra minutes to drive to work today.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah. Wow, you guys are weenies. I flew through it.
It wasn't me as much as it was everybody else on the interstate.
Just follow the foghorn. Yeah, this is pretty foggy out there. This, as far as fog goes, this is among the heavier ones. Do you remember that accident on the I-4 years ago? Do you remember the deadly, deadly accident with, like, I don't know, it was like dozens of cars?
No, but I remember the Skyway Bridge. That was fog related, too.
Yeah, it was. And you were a little kid back then,
right? I wasn't born. I was just thought of.
Right, okay. You'll play that game.
I think you were 10.
All right.
So, yeah, what happened out in, was it Polk County or where Hillsborough and Polk County kind of meet?
Yeah, it was out there, and it was out in the Netherlands, the nether regions, and farmland, like, on both sides. It was near Auburndale, maybe a little...
That's well into Polk County.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember, but there was an awful, awful car wreck. In fact, my cousin is an attorney, and he was based out of Miami, and in fact, there was a tire company. I forgot which tire company it was, but there was a tire company truck. You know, one of the big tire chains in the state of Florida. They had a truck involved, and... They were getting sued, and he was representing. I don't remember all the details, but I had a cousin involved. But the numerous people, they lost their lives. And the point is don't drive like a maniac this morning. Roxanne just complaining that on the Howard Franklin Bridge, I got to be honest, most people, as I was coming in, seemed to be behaving. We had a couple of fast left lane drivers for some reason.
I saw two people look like they were racing, like a Mustang and another guy.
Get that. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was insane. Or one guy was chasing the other guy. I don't know what was going on. It was like GTA.
Wait, you saw people racing or chasing on the Howard Franklin amid all this fog?
It was very shocking. It was a black Mustang flying behind another car. It was almost like he was in his slipstream, and he was busting through the fog.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
I think Froggy and I were in the later pack behind you, right, MJ? So didn't you see like a lot of, they were just driving on each other's bumpers, like driving, giving no space between the cars.
I gotta be honest, on my drive in, I was pleasantly surprised that the speeds were not in the 80 to 85 range as usual. And then you also generally, it's almost like clockwork. When I drive in on the Howard Franklin, it's almost a certainty that I get the 100-110 mile an hour drivers that are, you know, switching lanes and weaving in and out. Happens almost every morning, and they're boom, boom, boom. It's like like NASCAR. Hey, do we have you got the NASCAR noises in there, Coop? Boom, boom. That's like the Howard Franklin Bridge normally. But this morning, you guys must have been among the ass clowns, because only I saw a couple, maybe two cars that I thought were going too fast, and they were over on the left. And we didn't have, because a lot of times you get the folks going from the left to the middle to the right and back over to the left, and they're playing like Frogger or something, or they're weaving in and out trying to get through the traffic. But I didn't see it that badly. You guys apparently saw a bunch of imbatards that were driving like idiots.
I sure did. Do you ever feel like when you drive in the fog, you ask yourself, wait, am I still dreaming?
No.
You never do that? And then what you do, you look in the mirror, because I don't think you can see your reflection in a dream, and then you look at your watch.
That's vampires.
Wait a second. Wait. To determine whether you're dreaming or not, what are you supposed
just
to do?
Look in the mirror. If you can see your reflection, that means you're awake.
Okay. But wait a minute. Wait, I have to conjure up the dream in the mirror, or I've got to try to get up and go to the bathroom to the mirror while I'm dreaming?
You got
to
find a mirror in your dream.
That's what I just said. What do you want to find?
You got to find a dream mirror.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't want to go to the bathroom in your dream where the mirror is, right, Froggy?
Wait, I'm confused.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, listen, the bottom line is, it is foggy. And he is froggy.
Yeah.
So drive carefully, not like a maniac. Just getting rolling. It's a jammed up Friday. Don't move. We're back in minutes. MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. MJ with Roxanne and Froggy and Fester. And Fester's gone again. Fester late coming to the show. You know, kind of walking. Oh, now he's walking back in. What are you doing, man? You're like...
Can you shut the door when you come in?
And then, what are you doing? You're in and out. You're running all over the place.
You okay?
I'm a busy man.
What are you doing?
You don't want to know.
I couldn't find you, Investor.
No, I do want to know.
Okay, so I was in the MJ Morning Show office.
Yes.
I have a new phone. I got it maybe 4 or 5 months ago.
Right.
I can't figure out how to transfer my MJ Morning Show email onto this phone. So, in the office, I keep my old phone plugged in, and I reply back to listener email.
Wait a minute. You have not put the Fester at MJ Morning Show account on your phone yet?
Well, I have it on my old phone, which has the cracked screen and the little button on it, like the iPhone 6.
Don't tell people any of this.
It resides in the office.
It's very easy. So,
put the account. First of all, what kind of lazy ass are you that if you couldn't figure it out yourself, that you wouldn't go to our IT guy and ask for help?
The amount of work you're doing.
Fester at MJ Morning Show. My email address, by the way, which
no,
I don't.
Fester at MJMorningShow.com.
That, my email address, by the way.
Yes.
Which I don't recommend you send an email to. Because
why?
Because.
Well, then where else are they going to send you an email?
MJ at MJMorningShow.com. And you can say, hey, Fester, I got this email.
No, I don't want to get your mail. Don't tell people to send your mail.
Oh, I forgot about that email.
Right.
You set up.
Yes.
I haven't checked that in a while.
Yeah, what was the last time Froggy checked Froggy at MJMorningShow.com? I check mine at least every couple of days.
You don't check that email?
Oh, I totally forgot about this. It's probably been 6 months. I gotta check it now.
What is the matter with you?
I check my Beasley one and I check my Froggy one and I did.
What
I forgot.
Dude, you've got an email for the show.
Oh yeah.
I try to reply for you guys.
Thank you. I answer my email all the time. I look at my email. I get a lot. And I look at email. I'm looking at the email constantly during the morning show.
Where is it? Where's the link? Can you send me the link?
What do you mean, where's the link?
Fester, I don't have it either.
See, well,
Fester, you know it exists, but you don't have it on your new phone.
Right. One of the things we got when we started the show is our custom email address, which is great, and I've used it a bunch. However, I can't figure out I don't remember my old password. I can't. So for some reason, I can't associate that network with this phone, and I'm like, you know what?
You don't know the password to Fester at MJMorningShow.com?
Okay, it's either gravy 0101
or chili.
I mean, it's something like that.
Oh my god! All right, so
I was finishing up morning show emails, and then I heard Tom Petty, and I'm like, oh crap, we gotta get back on the air.
All right, 6:17. It's the MJ Morning Show.
I told you didn't want to know.
Alec Ball. Oh, and then Roxanne, did you say this off the air or on the air?
Yeah, I said it off the air because it's kind of weird, so I wouldn't say it on the air.
Oh, God forbid.
What do you think I'm saying?
How I get mad at my phone. why I get
no,
mad at my
no,
phone.
That's, oh, okay. No, that's not. No, did you say on or off, no, did you say on or off the air that you woke up late or your alarm didn't go off?
Off the air. Okay. I did this stupid update overnight.
On your iPhone?
On my phone. I think that's the only thing I can imagine because the whole thing was shut off. And I was laying in bed.
Did
I woke
you
up.
Know that you got an update or was your phone scared? I know that. I don't use iPhone. I'm an Android guy. Back in October when it first came out, like the first day, I got the new Google phone, the new Pixel Pro, the new Pixel 6 Pro. It's great. So I use Android. The only Apple thing that I have a new iPad. So I've got an iPad 12.9 Pro that I got back in June. And I did see that that was like going to get an iOS update earlier this week. And the software was going to be put into my iPad at like 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So
yeah.
Maybe that's the same deal. So you think your phone updated and then it screwed your alarm up? And
yes.
So your alarm didn't go off.
And the funny thing
is. So then how the hell are you here?
The funny thing is I was just lying in bed for like 10 minutes and I was like, ugh. I have a rule. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I do not look at the clock. Because I read one time that screws you up. If you look at the clock, then you calculate how much more time you have to sleep. It messes you up. Don't even look at the clock. So I said, all right, try to go back to sleep. And then I woke up and looked at my alarm clock and realized, looked at another clock in the house and realized, oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's the exact reason why when I wake up in the middle of the night, I look at my clock and say, oh wait, great. It's only 2:45. I can go back to bed for another hour and a half.
You shouldn't do that.
Alec Baldwin. Now, we're not going to do the whole chunk here because we need a good amount of time and I don't have enough time, but we'll play a couple of bites here. I watched Alec Baldwin. I didn't watch it in real time. I decided to be very efficient with my time, and with Alec Baldwin, I TiVo'd Alec Baldwin. So I DVR'd it. I don't know how many people still have TiVo, but TiVo is still the best DVR.
You still have TiVo?
Yeah.
It's the best. Your thing still goes bloop, bloop, bloop.
It does.
Oh my gosh, that's ancient.
TiVo, well, no, I have a newer unit. They still make TiVos. They've got new units out, and TiVo's just the best. It's the best DVR. I tried to use one of the cable company DVRs a number of years ago, and I wanted to smash the flipping thing. I wanted to throw it out of the window onto 5th Avenue, 6th Avenue. It was up in New York. It was like I was trying to deal with the, what was it, Spectrum or whatever it was. That DVR, I wanted to smash the damn thing to bits. I hated it like poison.
Okay.
So, efficiency, time-wise. So, instead of watching Alec Baldwin at 8 p.m., and having to sit through all the commercials, we did other things, watched other things, and I had a DVR. So later on, like 10:30 last night, that's when we watched Alec Baldwin, and I was able to go ba-doop, 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 and fast forward through all the commercials. And I was able to watch the hour-long episode of the Alec. I was trying to figure out how the hell they're going to get an hour out of this thing, man. Seems a little exploitative, doesn't it? So we were able to blow through the show in like, 45 minutes, 43 minutes.
I mean, what else are they going to do? Have a 15-minute interview with Alec Baldwin and then like a rerun of the Goldbergs? They really have no choice. It's either an hour or it's nothing.
I still can't get over the fact that they had some Olaf,
excuse me.
What was it, Olaf?
Olaf from Frozen.
All right.
Olaf.
ABC last night was supposed to have an Olaf Frozen. Was it a Christmas special?
Let it go.
ABC last night scheduled was Olaf. Can you imagine all the kids thinking that Olaf is on? And I'm sure they promoted this and it was on the schedule. When we even went to ABC.com and looked at the schedule for last night at 8 o'clock, they had some Frozen Olaf show scheduled on ABC.
All right. For this to be spun so quickly. Well, and Olaf not even be taken off the website.
Exactly. Well, this clearly came down the pike fast.
Like
so
Sunday night or Monday, Tuesday?
Sorry, I'm not embedded in programming over at ABC News.
Liar.
But something, clearly this thing was put together pretty quickly. They've started promoting it on Wednesday afternoon is when we heard about it. So either Stephanopoulos recorded with Alec Baldwin on like Wednesday morning or maybe Tuesday. But they did this quickly to get Alec Baldwin on the air with this interview about the horror, the tragedy on that movie set. Clearly, watching Alec, and we're going to do this, we're going to take a nice long chunk later on, because I've got, I couldn't pull every soundbite, because I don't want to play the whole damn show, but I pulled like 11 things. And
okay, as long as you didn't pull all of
no,
them.
No, but, you know, some are a minute long, some are, you know, 7 seconds long, some are 20 seconds long, some are 42 seconds long, but there are a bunch of things that, because Froggy, you watched it, right?
Yes, sir, I did. I couldn't wait.
But I didn't see a minute of it, not 1 minute of it.
Why didn't you watch any of it?
Because I wanted to have a natural reaction.
Yeah, well, that's a great answer.
Hey, that's usually my excuse.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer. I completely forgot it was on.
Oh, how
I completely
could you?
Forgot.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have said, hey, what's on tonight at like 7:58 last night as I was watching that Jeopardy champion slay, I was like, I don't know.
So George Stephanopoulos asks Alec Baldwin, well, why now? Why are you doing this now?
Alec, thank you for doing this. You haven't said much in public since that tragic accident. Why speak out now?
Well, I think that there's a criminal investigation. That could be a while.
Oh, here comes the music. So they use the dramatic music during the whole thing.
That sucks.
Unnecessary. The situation's dramatic enough.
No, I don't think they used it during the whole thing, did they?
Oh, the music was like, dude, it was weaved through the whole thing. It was like, see, you didn't need, it was like subliminal. And
I guess I stopped listening to it at some point.
Dude, listen, they're playing the music. The guy's talking for 7 seconds and ABC's already running the drama music.
There's all kinds of civil litigation and I felt there were a number of misconceptions, most of it from sources I really wouldn't concern myself about.
All right, let me translate this. Why now? Why are you doing this interview? Why are you speaking out? Well, because my lawyer knows I'm such a good actor and that I could go on TV and act really well and try to mitigate some of the damage. All right, that's just a little teaser. We'll get into this. I got to pick a time, either in the 7 o'clock hour or the 8 o'clock hour. We got to take like 10, 12 minutes and just kind of plow through some of the audio.
It deserves a good amount of time.
It does.
It's pretty crazy.
No, it really, really does. All right, hold on a minute. When we get back, in moments, ladies and gentlemen, we'll dive into the early morons of the news on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show at Q105. All right, so we might sprinkle a few Alec Baldwin little audio bites from this big ABC interview. We'll probably sprinkle some in during the program until we get to the full-blown Alec Baldwin segment. We've just made a programming decision.
Amazingly.
That Olaf is going to replace us starting at 7 o'clock this morning since it got bumped on ABC last night for the Alec Baldwin shot the lady dead on the movie set special.
Let it go. What did he do? Accidentally shoot the princess?
What? Say it again.
Did Olaf shoot the princess now? No,
Elsa?
We're getting bumped.
Okay, first of all, Princess Elsa is unshootable because she's stopping with ice. Exactly, yeah. Right.
Oh, that's true.
Did we pull the most important clip from the Alec Baldwin interview?
And what would that be?
Where he just says, no, 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 no. Just the isolation.
He says it a lot.
The
actually.
Isolation of, does he, did he say it a lot?
Yeah. No, 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 no.
He said that a lot.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no.
That's sort of condescending, isn't it?
No, no.
No, 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 no.
It's almost
please,
like,
please, stupid you, stupid you.
Is he waving his finger, you know, the, no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no,
no, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, No.
Again, it's like Caddyshack. It's like Chevy Chase going, be the ball, Danny.
No.
So you think that I could just play that and we could be totally done with any kind of review of Alec Baldwin on ABC last night?
I mean, I have like 50 questions for Alec myself, and all the answers would be the same. No.
8 o'clock.
All right.
So 8 o'clock, we're probably going to need 15 minutes to go over the audio bites. So Alec Baldwin, the full MJ Morning Show analysis of Alec Baldwin is coming up 8 o'clock this morning. Alec, you going to be listening?
No.
Oh, Alec.
No.
Such a fan.
Alec, dude, come on.
No.
Come on, Alec, anything else?
And the issue with that is there's only one question to be resolved, only one. That is, where did the live round come from?
Whoa, where did that helicopter come from?
Hold on.
Wow. Wait a minute, there's a helicopter in the room. George.
Okay, there's two questions.
Wait a minute, I'll tell you what my... Fess, you hold on to your question. My question is...
And the issue with that is there's only one question to be resolved, only one.
Yeah, why can't ABC get rid of the drama music underneath the interview? That's the only question I need to know, like, right now.
Like, his delivery isn't dramatic enough.
Exactly. No, he's totally acting. Last night, he obviously was able to convince his lawyers, which most lawyers will tell you, shut up. Don't say anything.
That's what I was thinking. You know, I'm like, how is he doing this before anything's happened?
Don't say anything, especially like do a 1 hour ABC News interview. But obviously his lawyers said, you know what, Alec, you're such a good actor that, you know what, we're going to let you roll with this because maybe you can mitigate the situation.
Maybe he's doing it to taint a potential jury pool because everybody will see it. And then it'll be hard to find people, you know, if it goes to trial for any reason.
Listen, he's doing it to get ahead of it.
I do believe he feels bad. He was crying, and yes, there were. I did see tears.
I saw him rubbing onions in his eyes.
No, you didn't. He had some serious bags under his eyes also.
He hasn't slept.
Listen, he's had a rough time. And listen,
he killed somebody.
He did. But I mean, in the audio bites we'll play later on. Again, we're going to do full MJ Morning Show analysis at 8 o'clock on the whole Alec Baldwin situation. And well, I have some interesting commentary. Fester, before I move on to early morons in the news here on a Friday.
Yes.
You wanted to say something?
Oh, no. In the moment, I was making a joke about the two questions. The second, of course, being where the hell did that helicopter come from at the end? Of the audio clip, you can hear a helicopter landing.
He's trying to make a getaway.
And the issue with that is there's only one question to be resolved. Only one. That is, where did the live round come from?
Get off the chopper.
They started playing the helicopter sounds underneath, like, his last words in that audio bite.
They were going to another clip.
Were they going to play the intro of MASH next?
If you want me
to... The issue with that is there's only one question to be resolved. Only one. That is, where did the live round come from?
Get down, you're under arrest!
The chopper, it's nighttime, the chopper's in the air, the spotlights are on the ground. Alec, I think Roxanne wants to say something. Are you okay with this?
No.
Oh, Roxanne, I'm sorry. Alec Baldwin's he calls the shots around here.
Don't say
even
shot.
No, don't say that.
What'd you say, Froggy?
Don't say shot.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Things.
That was inadvertent.
Yeah, that's what
that was. Alec, do you believe me?
No.
Okay.
That's how I talk to my kids when they're in trouble. No.
Is he scolding? Is he waving his finger at George Stephanopoulos? No,
little George.
What are we going
to
say?
If you want me to evaluate his crisis management response in the 8 o'clock hour, I will.
Oh, geez, that's right. You're a crisis management person.
That's okay. I think we're good.
I mean, I'm okay.
I still want to know, Roxanne, what the hell qualifies you to offer up advice in a crisis management counselor role?
This position.
You think so?
No.
And people have hired you to be a crisis manager?
Essentially.
But what's your background in that? Have you been trained?
She's obviously good at selling her lies. Yes. I mean,
all right, so I go to your website, Roxanne Crisis.
No website, it's dark web stuff.
All right, just work with me here. Hypothetically, I go to your website. RoxanneCrisisManagement.com for celebrities. And I click on the little tab on the top that says about.
About, right.
And what does it say about Roxanne? Why the hell I should hire you for crisis management?
Roxanne has worked with high profile clients in times of duress.
Are you reading this from your fake website right now?
Yes, it's populating my head right now as I talk.
Start from the beginning. Go ahead.
Roxanne has worked with high-profile clients under duress and has successfully helped them overcome obstacles in their lives during personal something like that. What do you think? Would you hire me? Hired.
I can get you in touch with Alec.
Alec, would you hire Roxanne?
No.
Oh, at least you'll live.
Froggy, what did you just say?
I said, at least you'll live.
I mean, there's no chance of Alex shooting Roxanne if he doesn't hire her.
That's true. Well, no, I wouldn't say that. All right, let's do some early morons in the news, and then we'll do full Alec Baldwin analysis from ABC last night, 8 o'clock, 7 Central, here on ABC. I need helicopter noises. I want to run helicopter noises. You know what? That might be a good idea. Maybe we should run helicopter noises under all of our segments. Or maybe we should run drama music under everything we do, like on the Alec Baldwin special last night. All right, let's do early morons in the news, man. We got a bunch of local idiots, man. Davenport. A lot of Florida stories today. Did you see the caretaker was so drunk she lost track of the children that she was watching? Now, that might not be a good children caretaker. What you think?
On the other side, those kids are wily. They can get away from you.
A Davenport, Florida woman is behind bars. She lost track of 2 children in Polk County while drunk.
Well, how many was she watching total?
Has Grady Judd done a 2-hour press conference on this one yet? He should. Samantha, I need Grady Judd at the podium with an easel, with a big, giant, blown-up picture of this dopey woman. If you look at her mugshot, she's like, what have I done now? Seriously, the woman is so drunk, she lost track of the kids she was supposed to watch. And her mugshot, if you look at her mugshot, this is what you hear.
It's like an audio daily double with a mugshot.
You see this, Roxy?
Yeah, that might be good.
So here are the further details on this. We ought to get this mugshot up on our...
What's the sound that the old intern Mary Fran used to make?
Boom! Oh, yeah.
It was like a no and an O and a whine all mixed together.
Yeah, sort of like...
Samantha DeCastro, 27 years old. She brought the 2 children to a Wawa store in Davenport on Wednesday, 2 days ago, to pick up a pack of cigs. First of all, isn't that great? Your caretaker who is watching your kids, right, is heading out and taking the kids out to get some smokes at the Wawa.
Well, her smoke break was coming up.
Smoke if you got them, right?
So she's got the kids in tow when she's going to Wawa to pick up some cigarettes, according to the Polk County Sheriff's Office. When the store employee noticed that DeCastro had a bottle of Bacardi tucked into her waistband.
Wow.
Big waistband. She's watching kids. Wawa to get some smokes, and the Wawa clerk behind the counter noticed she had a bottle of Bacardi rum jammed into her waistband, and she was stumbling and slurring her speech. Cops say that DeCastro then left the store, but forgot the 8-year-old child that she was watching. Left the 8-year-old in the Wawa.
Just in front of the soup bowl area?
No, in front of the pretzels.
Oh, my God.
They got the pretzels right at the front counter there at Wawa.
I tell you right now, my kids would love nothing more than to be left at a Wawa. They have like a 5-flavor, 6-flavor Slurpee machine.
You like you'd like to be left in front of Wawa so you could steal all the packets of Splenda.
Dude, I am an adult. I can go there on my own free will.
That's true.
And steal all the Splenda.
So then, wait a minute. Deputies were called to the Wawa and later found DeCastro walking away from the store while carrying a 2-year-old child, but left the 8-year-old. It was so drunk, apparently, forgot all about the 8-year-old.
So she was able to carry this kid and still have the bottle cinched in her waistband?
Apparently the bottle of Bacardi was still inside the waistband. So she's walking away from the store. She's got the 2-year-old. When deputies were talking with DeCastro, she reportedly set the 2-year-old child on the ground, and then shortly after she began looking around for the 2-year-old as well, who was right where she had left him. She put the kid down on the ground and then frantically starts looking, didn't know where the 2-year-old was. You just put it down on the ground. It puts the 2-year-old in the basket.
She's losing a kid one after another.
So
she finds one, loses the other one.
Polk County deputies say that DeCastro eventually began to walk away despite officers repeatedly telling her that she was not free to leave.
Well, I'm out of here.
That this was an investigation. And then as she's walking away and she's refusing to follow the orders of the deputy, they place her under arrest. Anyway, they took her to the Polk County Jail. She was charged with negligent child abuse, resisting without violence, disorderly intoxication, cited for, possessing an open container of alcohol in public. And then the children were then turned over to their parent. I'm guessing that the parent is probably not going to use this woman, Samantha DeCastro, as her child care provider in the future.
But will they at least give a good reference? That's the important
thing. Samantha will work again in this job market.
$40, yeah. Man.
Okay, I can watch your kid. I just have to let you know, the last kid I watched, I left at the Davenport Wawa while I was getting some ciggies. I found her Facebook page. She's very proud of her children that she watches.
I'm a real wild one.
Every picture she's holding a kid, none of which she's smoking or leaving kids at Wawa.
She looks pretty.
Yeah, pretty lady.
Let me see. I want to see if I can spot any bottles in her pants.
I don't see any bottles in her pants.
It's so much easier to carry bottles like in the underwire portion of your bra.
Pretty.
They're much more stabilized there.
Now, what,
she's a good-looking gal.
Yeah.
You know, her mugshot is not terrible, but when you look at her normal pictures, yeah, when she's not stumbling drunk at a Wawa, she's actually fairly attractive. Right. Now, hold on. What site are you on here? Is this Facebook?
A site called Fuck.
Jeez. Dude, watch your language.
All right, we get the joke.
Okay. Facebook. I'm on Facebook.
This goes to show how Facebook.
Wait a minute. How did you find her Facebook page?
Because she has a name, and Facebook has this little microscope feature where you can search people, and I put her name in there, and she lives in Davenport.
All right.
And there's all of her pictures, and there she is twerking. Looks great.
This goes to show what Facebook, everybody's Facebook makes their life look perfect.
There is a picture and...
Wait a minute, there's booze in this one.
There is a picture of her in a kitchen with a friend, and there's a can of Miller Lite. Then there's a big old jug of some kind of liquor on the counter.
That's Wild Turkey.
Is it Wild Turkey?
You can see the turkey
I can see it, yeah.
Wait a minute, there's a gas can behind her.
What is that?
Is that a... What's this...
What's that red thing?
Is that a butane?
I don't know.
Like a butane tank.
Might be lighter fluid. Is that a pill? Is that a pill bottle also?
Right. Oh my God! There's a pill bottle.
I think right now. Wait. No. Right in front of the lighter fluid.
There's
thing.
Two shots of. Is that Wild Turkey poured right there?
And a Bud Light right next to the knives.
There you go. Zoom in.
All right, I think we need to put her Facebook page. Hey, Coop, can you get her Facebook page link up
shot,
in here?
Shot. There's four shots poured.
She looks like a fun gal.
Is that barbecue sauce also?
Oh, man. All right, I love her.
Man, she's great.
So, folks in Polk County, if you need child care, it looks like Samantha DeCastro is going to be available.
All right, and I'd like to also point out that mugshots are typically taken on the worst day of people's lives.
All right, now, I have a lot more of the morons. We're going to have to do a chunk, too. You know, there's another woman who abandoned her infant at home to do this. Unbelievable. Woman abandons her infant at home, goes out to do this. Hold on. We'll explain next. MJ Morning Show Q105 back in a second.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105. MJ here with Froggy and Fester, Roxanne. I got Coop in the producer's booth. What are you guys making all kinds of commotion?
Coop just busted me on an awful broadcasting error.
You guys are making all kinds of commotion.
This just came down literally in the last few seconds.
I'm trying to do the radio DJ kind of thing here, you know, MJ Morning Show. It's Q105. It's 6:59. Then I'm hearing all this racket.
Fester's an idiot, man.
Wait a minute. What just happened that I'm not apprised of just yet?
All right. So the woman who left the kid at the Wawa. His name. Yes. So I think I've offended every Samantha de Castro in the world.
I was thinking to myself, that mugshot looks very different.
The cities are also different. Okay.
Oh, jeez.
I got the right state.
So hang on a minute. Fester correction and retraction.
Yeah, there's the two-year-old right there.
That's a different baby.
Oh, yeah.
That's the woman who's not the woman.
That's the wrong Samantha.
I'm so confused. So,
all right, hang on. MJ Morning Show, correction and retraction. Fester found the wrong Facebook page.
Yes.
So the pictures of the woman who was apparently liquored up and drunk at the Wawa, losing track of the two-year-old and the eight-year-old that she was supposed to be watching. All that is, all my stuff is accurate.
Yes.
Fester's stuff is inaccurate.
Everything on Fester's stuff was inaccurate.
The woman we were looking at, the Samantha that was not the real Samantha in the mugshot, we analyzed her profile pics, her out not having fun pics.
Well, gorgeous.
It's not her.
Well, there was one.
She's some gorgeous woman.
There was one picture where she was in the kitchen and there was like a bottle of wild. She's with a friend. It looks like there was a party and there was a bottle of wild turkey. They looked like a container of lighter fluid. Looked like there was like a yellowish like prescription pill bottle or something with no label.
All right, so
that's not
the one.
That was, so you didn't even spell it right.
He didn't spell it right. This woman's from Northport. The story we had is Davenport.
I don't know that we
wrong port. Fester,
you're not helping anything, Coop.
Fester, you're an imbecile.
Yeah, and Coop's apparently a bastard.
God, you're a rat, dude.
But I do want to reach out to this Samantha in Northport to hire her because she looks like she's great with kids.
We don't want to talk to any of them. Let's just let it go.
So you found a Samantha de Castro with a whole different spelling.
Yeah.
That apparently, does she also watch kids or she
got
just
kids
has
in her photos?
Are those just her kids?
That may be hers. Who knows?
I think it's just her kids.
Okay.
All right, Fester, please apologize to I think both of them. I think you gotta.
I don't want to apologize to the lady in Davenport who left the Wawa kids there. I don't want to do that. But I will apologize to the one I falsely identified as that person. I apologize.
Northport, Davenport, Portland, Maine. Oh, what the hell, the same?
How many port cities do we have in Florida?
The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. You know, hey.
Sorry, Fester. I forgive you. Stupid ass.
All right, so Fester... Correction, would you again apologize for your mistake? And Coop, thanks for catching this. How do you catch it?
Well, because I couldn't find her with the proper spelling on my end, so I go, Fester, what does she look like? And then I notice that it's totally off on what Fester's looking at.
Fester, you're a haphazard mess. You're a disheveled mess. You didn't even spell the name right.
First of all, I was off by one letter, okay? Let's not make a federal case out of it.
We're all like, wow, she looks so good on Facebook compared to her mugshot. I mean, how dumb are we? We don't even figure it out. We're lying on this hump.
You can see the real mugshot. It's up on MJMorningShow.com now.
Nice quality control, Coop.
Thanks for nothing, Coop.
No, we do have the real mugshot.
The real mugshot is up.
Yeah, that story, the story of Samantha, D-I-C-A-S-T-R-O, 27, who lost track of the two kids in Polk County and was apparently liquored up with a Bacardi bottle in a waistband at Wawa. That's all accurate. But it was a different Samantha DiCastro with a different spelling that Fester found.
I got a great idea. Let's see how I can screw up this next story.
Oh, my God. All right. Moving along. It's the correction on the MJ Morning Show. Yeah, listen, the minute we make a mistake, we'll correct it right away. Fester, you're a buffoon.
Should I smack him?
Yes, please.
Let's not resort to violence.
Not literally. All right. I don't know what's going on with Florida and women and little kids. A woman here in Florida, here in the Tampa Bay area, now facing charges. Why? She decided to go out, go to a bar, and leave her infant in the crib alone as she went out on Thanksgiving night. Isn't that fantastic?
Another one.
Deputies say that Victoria Hidalgo, 37, of Port Charlotte, left her home, went to a bar after she fired a gun into the front door of her home on Thanksgiving evening. So this story just gets better and better.
That's a lot.
Woman decides, hey, I got to go get a drink at a bar, after she opens fire on the front door of her home. So the cops were called down in Port Charlotte. They were called to the home after the woman said that she received a call from Hidalgo, who sounded as though she was under the influence of alcohol, and said that she fired a gun inside the home. So this woman, who apparently knows Hidalgo, she, I guess, goes to check on the home, and she noticed that her car was not in the parking space, found a bullet lodged in the front door of the house. Deputies are then called. They were let inside, and then they found her infant child left alone in the crib in the house.
Infant?
During the investigation, the Port Charlotte police, they then determined that the vehicle that was missing was a shared vehicle, that it was pulled over later that night by Charlotte County deputies. Now, Hidalgo's reportedly in the front passenger seat along with a male driver, and the cops say that her eyes were bloodshot, watery, her breath reeked of alcohol, her speech was slurred.
Hey,
this woman reminds me of Ginger in Casino.
The man told police that he had just met her at the Paddy Wagon Irish Pub in Port Charlotte. He added that he was concerned Hidalgo was going to drive home in a very intoxicated state. So said, hey, what is that song? Who's going to take you home tonight? Remember that?
Holy cow, what was that?
Whoa. What was that song? Remember?
New segment called Awful Karaoke on the MJ Morning Show.
Tonight. Who's going to take you home tonight?
It sounds nothing like that.
No, what? I don't recognize any of that.
MJ, this guy was trying to pick up
a drunk. Oh, that's fun. The band's fun.
It's fun. It's
fun.
Who's going to carry you home tonight? Isn't that it?
I don't know.
So this guy.
I just made it up.
Do you think this guy was truly concerned about her well-being or was just trying to score?
Yeah, he suddenly became concerned when the cops rolled on the scene.
Yeah. So.
Now, her mugshot. She looks like this. She should caption this, living my best life.
She's all smiley.
Super happy.
Well, if you're a crisis management expert, as you say, Roxanne, there are some consultants that recommend that you always smile in your mugshot if you happen to get into a predicament where a mugshot is taken.
Yes.
This one, she needs to be a little more somber in, having left the kid at home.
Like, Fester, if you were going to be arrested for the turkey fryer fire back...
Oh, my God.
All smiles in that one.
I couldn't have smiled big enough. My mouth does not open with such a wide glee,
now,
enough.
You were never arrested, but you were thinking about it, and you would have...
I wasn't thinking about it. It was a real possibility.
Right.
I mean, I was like, I think I should get arrested today. I wasn't thinking about it like that.
By the way,
but if you're going to go,
Fester just brought up a picture of the Paddy Wagon Irish Pub. Are you sure you picked up Did you find a picture of the right Paddy Wagon Irish pub? Is that in the right state? Is that Florida?
Did you find one?
Did you find one in Nevada?
This is the Paddy Wagon Irish pub. And apparently there's a bunch of Paddy Wagon Irish pubs in Tampa, but right. This one's on Tamiami Trail in Port Charlotte.
In Port Charlotte. Opens at 12 noon.
Looks like a fun place.
Yeah, look at that. Painted all bright yellow and everything.
Very nice.
Paddy Wagon.
So police say that the guy driving the car, while she was all schnit-faced, apparently did not know that she had left the infant at home in the crib and had fired a bullet into the front door of her house. Now, do we know why she fired a bullet into the front door of her house? Well, we don't. Listen to this. Cops say there is no excuse for an infant to be left in a home alone, nor is there a good explanation for the discharge of the firearm, according to Sheriff Bill Prommel of the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. It's clear that this woman's priorities are way out of order, and I hope this experience serves as a wake-up call for her. You know, lady, firing a bullet into the front door of your house and leaving your infant in the crib, that's no way to go through life, son.
We got to go back to that Cars, or the song you were singing, because that was such an abomination of the song you were trying to tell us,
all right, cool.
MJ.
Did you find the fun song for me?
No, it's... What? By the Cars, Drive. That's what you were trying to do.
No, it wasn't.
No, he was trying to do fun. Tonight!
No, I'm trying to do fun. All right, Coop, can you bring that up, please?
We are gonna make...
Set the world on fire.
You said who's gonna take me home tonight.
Coop,
bring it.
Is it We Are Young?
Yes, We Are Young.
It's We Are Young by Fun.
All right,
I have it. There's an ad. Hold on.
All right, hang on. We got to wait.
That's no fun.
I think I have it right here.
We got to wait for the ad. Well, you've got an ad also, I think, Fester.
This is the video.
Okay, all right. This is the song.
Higher than the umpire.
Yeah, you guys think I'm making up the lyric. I have. Here's the song. This is the song I'm talking about. This is a good song.
Give me a second, I need to get my story straight. My friends are in the bathroom getting higher than the Empire State. My lover, yeah. She is waiting for me just across the bar. My seat's been taken.
I like Fun. Fun had a couple of good songs.
Go to the hook.
Hang on, I'm going to cue it in. Hold on. All right, here we go.
Here we go. These guys.
You home.
Oh, here it is right there.
The bar closes.
It's perfect. The bar closes.
Play it.
Hang on.
Jeez.
Why are you so impatient?
Get to the hook.
Mr. Mistake over here. Why are you so impatient?
Let's listen to the whole fun song.
So if by the time the bar closes and you feel like falling down, I'll carry you home tonight.
That's the point. So the guy in the car driving the drunk lady, when the bar closes...
You got the line completely wrong.
What's on fire? We go higher.
Jesus.
So that
seems good? Like you got the wrong line.
You got the line
wrong,
completely wrong.
Like, just to play a cool song, and that's fine.
He didn't even know what song it was.
What do you mean? I got the line basically right.
I'm driving you home. He's carrying her home, and it's not that we thought you made the line up. It was such an awful karaoke rendition. We couldn't even believe what song it was in.
And even like nobody could decipher what you were saying, so everybody thinks that you were talking about the car song.
MJ,
Drive.
Who's gonna
take me home tonight?
Nobody thought that.
Roxanne's talking to 50 texters right now who thinks
okay.
It's the Cars.
Nobody thought that.
Except for the texters, Froggy.
Anyway.
It was obviously...
We just have two bizarre female drunk stories involving kids back-to-back on the MJ Morning Show. Hi, everybody. I'm Casey Kasem. Now back to the Drunk Chick Countdown.
Yes. Love Drunk Chick Countdown.
All right. Well, this is...
There's not another one.
It's a perfect transition. Now, we don't know what's wrong here. Roxanne, you're fully up to speed on the bride that passed out at her wedding, vomits, and then gets pooped on?
If by fully up to speed, I have the story up on my computer, yes.
If by fully up to speed, she read it 45 seconds ago, then yes.
That's a series of unfortunate events.
So she's smiling, she's blushing, and then she's barfing.
She kept telling her husband-to-be that she didn't feel good, and he thought she was being funny.
Holly Linnea Calendra Darnell.
Wow, that is a bunch of unfortunate names.
What
and it looks
heck?
Like, did she throw up into his pocket?
I think so. Okay.
I know someone who did that one time, who threw up in a pocket. Are you a shirt pocket.
Really?
Yes.
Is that from a movie or something?
So this is bizarre. She said, I kept telling my husband, they're under a gazebo. This happened here in Florida. Now, does the story that I have didn't say where in Florida it happened. It just said that it happened here in Florida. And there's video. There are still shots. And apparently, she's from Minneapolis. And the outdoor ceremony, the wedding, took place here in Florida. They're outside. They're under a gazebo. That's the information that we have. And Fester, stop scrolling for a minute. Let me take control of this.
You got it.
So she gets sick. She's from Minneapolis. She recently got married. Her husband's name is Jackson. Then I guess everything was great, but then she started getting sick. And then she loses consciousness in the middle of the wedding ceremony where the justice of the peace or whoever the guy is that's marrying them, she starts to like begin to faint in the middle of the wedding ceremony. She's 22 years old. Then she apparently got pooped on because I guess poop came out of the diaper from her baby nephew, and that got all over her dress.
Okay, so there's a logical explanation for the poop.
Well, yeah, the poop came out of the diaper of her little baby nephew, I guess her sister's kid, in diapers at her wedding, right?
You have to picture it, though. So she has almost fainted.
Yep.
She's hurled over the edge of this gazebo, barfing.
Yeah.
She's dehydrated. She's exhausted.
As the ceremony's going on and they're getting married, she's collapsing. And it's like
this is what happened to her.
If you have a friend who's in that duress, you kind of make a fan, right? You make a fan and you blow air on them. And that's what the bridesmaid was doing while she was holding her baby. And the baby soiled itself, ran down the bridesmaid's arm, and then as she's fanning this passed out bride, she's blasting the passed out lady with baby poop.
That woman, I mean, it doesn't say it, but she probably had what's called a vasovagal reaction. And it's when you're very stressed out or you're very, you know, just you're scared and you pass out and throw up.
Well, she says that she was really dehydrated because she had not drank anything or eaten anything for much of the day, and that she has low blood pressure and she is iron deficient and she's prone to passing out.
She sure is.
I'll tell you what, that's the kind of motorist I want next to me going 75 miles an hour on the Howard Franklin.
Pop a payday before your wedding.
Yeah.
Something. God, get something in your body.
Exactly.
If they ever have hit some road bumps in their marriage and go to counseling, this is going to be like the metaphor for how their life started together.
Man, that's just bizarre. So you pass out, you puke, your sister's baby has poop coming out of the diaper, gets all over your wedding dress.
My kid pooped on me at a wedding, and I still had to wear the dress.
Whose wedding was that? Because you're not married.
No, one of Doug's cousins.
So why are you bringing... which kid? And why are you bringing a little infant to a wedding?
Because she was invited, but she pooped on my dress. It was a blowout.
So you know somebody who's puked in a pocket, and you've got poop on a dress.
What do you mean it was a blowout?
Holy
You know, like out the back, like yeah, out the back of the diaper.
You don't
up
know
the back?
What a baby diaper blowout is?
Oh, God.
Man, I'm starving.
What are we doing here?
I'm not sure.
A baby diaper blowout.
That's a total thing.
That's how you get material out of the diaper.
Like a landmine, like an explosion?
Like it goes sometimes like up the back of the baby.
All right.
You're reminding me of my kids when they were young. Stop it. I'm getting
sick. I don't know if we ever had any. Hang on a minute. What time is that? I'm going to call Michelle.
I have news for you.
When you find the kid's back.
I got to call Michelle.
You may not know it.
Now, this is This is a little early. I tried not to call Michelle before, like,
10?
8 o'clock.
What a sweet wake-up this will be.
Hey, go ahead and you ask Michelle when she picks up.
Hello?
Hey, are you awake?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. All right, Roxanne's got a question. Are you listening to the show or no?
No.
Well, you're not awake. I know. Are we on in the back?
It's on, but you know.
We're on in the background, but you're sleeping. All right.
Right.
All right. So Roxanne's got a question for you.
Uh-oh. Did Chloe or Julian ever have any diaper blowouts, like up the back of the up their own back out of the diaper? Explosion.
No.
I didn't think so.
You're right.
So I got Fester and Roxanne telling me.
And Froggy.
Oh, and Froggy, that every baby, every parent has diaper blowouts. I'm like, you know what? I don't think we ever had an explosive, like, charge of a diaper.
You have calm intestines in your family.
Really, you have very mild and regulated movements in your in your lineage.
All right, so Michelle, we never had like a diaper explosion, right?
No.
Gosh.
Never.
Lucky you.
This is like, I guess a diaper explosion, is that tantamount to like in a movie where the crooks put like C4 plastic explosive on the safe and blow the door off the safe?
Except poop. But yes.
Yes.
Yes, just like that, but poop.
The hell? All right, Michelle, I got to run, okay?
Sorry to bug you for that.
That's okay.
But I told you, we never had any diaper explosions at my house. Go back.
I think you just blocked it out.
Go back to sleep, Michelle.
Yeah. All right. You're not missing much.
All right, goodbye. No. All right, folks, there is a story about a car and a tractor trailer on the interstate that's unbelievable. Also, your Christmas decorations and a big problem with the internet in your house. Are you scratching your head now and saying, how the hell is this going to be connected? The internet in your house and your Christmas decorations. Also, the tractor trailer in the car. You got to hear both of these next on the MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
It is the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. It is 7:28. And I was running out of time on the intro of this song, You Spin Me Round. I was like, coming up next, the car and the tractor trailer and the other story. And of course, I didn't have time to say. And the internet problem in your house, potentially from your Christmas decorations. But I know that I found that a little humorous. All right, this is the MJ broadcast on a Friday, and this is a very loosey-goosey show today.
I was telling Roxanne that. I was like, what the hell's going on today? We're all over the place.
It's a loosey-goosey show
today. Explosive show. Right,
we have a full analysis of Alec Baldwin coming up in half an hour. So 8 o'clock, 7:58, 8 o'clock, somewhere in that vicinity. We're going to do a full-blown Alec Baldwin analysis. Also, there was a grave omission on yesterday's show. I feel terrible. I realized this the minute we shut the show down. And I'm like, do we go back on the air? I skipped something on yesterday's show. So we're going to do that also just before we get into Alec Baldwin at 7:58, 8 o'clock, in just half an hour from now. A grave omission. I've got it right or wrong. And then we'll get into Alec Baldwin and... Jeez, just Alec Baldwin, ABC interview last night.
No.
And man, he's trying to distance himself from the whole damn thing. And I guess he and his lawyer rolled the dice because, you know, there are going to be lawsuits out the wazoo on this. There are already lawsuits filed, but not from the family that lost their wife and mother, the cinematographer. And you know, how about the director that got shot in the shoulder? I'm sure he's going to end up suing. And I think their insurance policies I think they have like cheap insurance. And this, didn't we read that there was an insurance cap and that probably won't be enough money? And
they got their insurance from the general.
But
so he was saying a bunch how it's like an independent film and they didn't have a lot of money.
Hey,
they had to take a lot of shortcuts.
Hey, yeah. Shaq, can you tell me if I'm making a movie and I want to get insurance for my movie making, Shaq, can the general provide that?
The short answer is yes, he can.
Thank you, Shaq.
But if somebody's going to get shot on your set, you may not want the general.
Your Shaq is losing a little bit. You need to go a little deeper.
But just want something with a higher limit.
Doesn't the general know all about like guns and ammo and everything?
The general knows about great no rates that you can get on time.
He wears a helmet, and so he knows about safety.
What is that little like slogan? It's like,
for great low rates that you get on time, call for the general.
Save some time. For a great low rate, you can get online, call for the general, and save some time.
But have you noticed that the general insurance, their latest commercials are like a little more put together?
Less cartoony?
Exactly. I think that maybe people were taking them not very seriously. It's like,
well, the general's in rehab. I saw him at Outback getting hammered.
I'm thinking that the general insurance company, that with the cartoon character, that maybe they were thinking that people thought of them as a cartoony insurance company. That we
for
wanted
a great low rate, you can get online, go to the general and save some time.
Is that the real commercial or is that Fester?
Have you never seen the general commercial?
Like you.
Yeah, I know.
For a great low rate, you can get online.
That's a cartoon general. It's like, it looks like Yosemite Sam if he were a general with gray hair.
If you want a rootin' tootin' great rate,
and this it's a cartoon general for general insurance, and he says,
for a great low rate, you can get online, go to the general and save some time.
Coop, why did you play that clip when you have me with my awesome, not only Shaq, but general impression?
Let me hear yours. Go ahead.
For a great low rate, you can get online, call the general and save some time.
Let me hear the real one.
For a great low rate, you can get online, go to the general and save some time.
That's your identical voice twin.
Froggy, you want a piece of this fight?
Sure.
We got to move on.
For a great low rate, you can get online, go to the general and eat home.
Sorry, I asked.
He's trying to do like the J.G. Wentworth version of that.
Call J.G. Wentworth. 877 cash now.
I have a structured settlement that I need cash now. Call J.G. Wentworth.
Right? You know what's crazy? When we started this segment, MJ commented, and he's never done this before, right, about how loose the show is today.
It's a very
and we've only done nothing but to live up to that by going all over the place. What are we talking about next? Who knows?
I'm having a good time.
A great time.
That's all that matters, man. Right. That's it. All right. Now, the things that I actually promoted. There is, Froggy, have you seen the tractor trailer and the video on the highway outside of Chicago?
No, sir, I have not.
Right, I'm about to amaze you. Please. This is insane. There is shocking. Folks, you got to see this. And when you safely can view our website, go to MJMorningShow.com. MJMorningShow.com. There is an image of a car wedged sideways underneath an 18-wheeler, underneath a tractor trailer, being dragged down the middle of the interstate outside of Chicago in Illinois. The truck driver apparently has no idea that a dark sedan lost control, swerved underneath the tractor trailer, and it's sideways. It's not like it plowed into the back and is being dragged like a trailer. No, the car is perpendicular. It is sideways underneath the truck, and it is being dragged down the interstate.
Oh God, is that guy dead?
No.
He get beheaded?
But wait a minute. It is even crazier because the vehicle is smashed underneath the car, and it's right in the passenger compartment, and the whole thing's crushed in. But the passenger, I guess, was back far enough in their seat. The passenger of the car is fine. No injuries whatsoever. And even when you look at the video, the person is waving and trying to, like, alert other motorists. Help, help.
Yeah, we can see that there's some help needed.
All right, Froggy, drag your mic over to Fester's computer.
Come on over here, Frog.
You've got to. I'm going to start this video. I've got control of it, Fester, because look at this. There's no audio, but
wow,
watch
good
this.
Video.
Look at this. This guy is holding a cell phone. Look at this thing. Look, it is unbelievable. Look at the car. But now, let me stop it right here.
Looks like the driver's dead.
Look at the tractor trailer has cut through the roof. The car is like cut in half from the roof line down to the top of the windowsill on the driver's window. And it is smashed. It is completely, it's severed. But the driver was far enough back in the driver's seat, unaffected, uninjured. You would think that the driver would be smushed like a grape.
Three quarters of the driver's compartment is crushed.
Is crushed sideways, smashed under the bottom of the tractor trailer.
And the car is just being dragged at, horizontally down the road.
It is.
It's not good for the tires.
No. In the, exactly.
The clarity of this camera is ridiculous.
Yeah, this is not, I don't think it's a dash cam because it's moving.
No.
I think the person's just holding up their cell phone shooting 4K video.
Could you imagine seeing that? It looks like a stunt from a movie.
All right, watch this. Now watch the video. Then the person, watch the arm. Watch the arm. Watch the arm here on the video. And look.
Hi. How you doing?
Then the arm comes out and they're waving.
Well, oh, my God. You can see their head?
How does a guy not feel this in his just driving?
This is insane. The video is on MJMorningShow.com. Folks, this is the craziest thing you'll see today. I'm telling you right now. MJMorningShow.com, when you get a chance. The video, it's only like a 28-second video, and this happened on I-294 in Cook County, Chicago. It was recorded by a driver named Grisek Misek, and that's the driver. Grisek Misek is the dude that shot the video, and it's amazing. You would think that the driver of this car is like crushed to bits or unconscious. Or deceased. And then there comes the arm just waving at other motorists.
Is there any word on who the driver is?
No, I didn't see any other update on this. Now, Roxanne, can you see if there's any update or Coop? Can you see if there's any update on the story? As of last night, I went to bed late. I did not see an update on this as far as who it is, if there are any details about the crash. All we know is the report says that the car lost control, so must have swerved while next to the tractor trailer in another lane. Swerve lost control, went underneath the truck and got wedged and smashed on it. And it's being dragged. And the tractor trailer driver has no idea that a car impacted underneath the tractor trailer.
It's a woman driving the car.
It is? How do you know?
Her name's Lalisha.
Oh, wait. So I didn't see this last night.
Yeah.
Give me the new details.
Okay. Her name is Lalisha Gardner. She's 19 years old. And so she was seen waving her hand a bit outside her car while the truck's driving her down. I'm trying to see the new information. This is the Daily Mail. They always get the scoop, right?
All right. So she's 19. She's lucky that she's going to see 20.
Yeah, no kidding. She is lucky she is alive.
It worked out so good in, was it, Lampoon's Vacation?
National.
It goes under and then dries back out.
That's right.
Exactly. So Illinois State Police said that the black Honda was trying to change lanes when it became stuck underneath the semi.
How about you look left?
That's why they put mirrors on the side
of
the car.
Mirrors? All you have to do is look.
It's a rig.
There's a giant machine next to you.
What? My giant truck is not visible enough for you?
Literally blocks out the sun. But go ahead, switch lanes.
Do we just spray paint it like fluorescent orange, like a safety vest?
It's ridiculous.
See? Does the driver get charges on this? So either of them?
Well, you know, he obviously wasn't checking his mirrors every 7 to 10 seconds.
First of all, I don't see how the tractor trailer driver could possibly be charged here.
You check your mirrors every 7 to 10 seconds?
You're supposed to if you're driving a semi.
Get out of here, really?
That's a pretty good point. You should, Roxanne, that is an excellent point.
7 to 10 seconds for semi-truck? Yeah. That's the norm?
Where are you getting this? Were you once a tractor? Were you once Large Marge?
She trains them.
Caleb Large Marge sent you. Are you moonlighting at that tractor-trailer driving school next to the amphitheater off I-4?
Are you referring to Roadmaster?
That's exactly Roadmaster.
Roadmaster.
Yeah. Listen, we did a bit. I took a lesson there. Remember that?
Yes.
I took a lesson at Roadmaster and drove an 18-wheeler. Because, you know, this is like 15 years ago. We were on the air doing the MJ Morning Show when we were on FLZ. And I said, you know what? I keep passing that that tractor trailer Roadmaster place on I-4, and they're like driving the tractor trailers on the road course over there. I want to drive. And then they called up and they invited me to come drive a tractor trailer, and I did.
And nobody got wedged underneath the rig while you were driving it.
No.
Right? Yeah, very safe.
Come on down to my class, boys. You'll know there are different rules if you're driving a big rig.
Is that really a rule to check the mirrors every 7 to 10 seconds?
It is.
How do you know that?
I know the rules, guys.
Tell them Large Marge Roxanne sent you. It was a night just like tonight. Sounded like a dumpster truck fall off the Empire State Building.
Tell them Large Marge.
We got some truck drivers calling in to confirm or deny Roxanne's.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hang on a minute. Who am I taking?
Line one, his name's Sandro.
Hey, good morning. What's your name? I want to get it right.
My name is Sandro, S-A-N-D-R-O.
Hey, Sandro, welcome to the MJ Morning Show. So you're a tractor-trailer driver?
Yes, sir, for over 18 years, and Roxanne is absolutely correct, so he will get charged.
Whoa!
That is considered reckless driving.
Really?
Yeah.
So, now, have you seen this video yet, or had you heard about the story?
No, but I've seen worse, trust me.
All right, when you get a chance, when you can go look at our website, go to mjmorningshow.com and take a look at this black Honda totally wedged sideways under the...
Well, I texted you guys a picture last week. You might want to look at that one. I'll retext it to you. Yeah, it's even worse than that. And the lady survived.
Wow.
All right, so you... All right, do me a favor. Send us a text right now, 800-990... Do we get pictures on our texts?
Pictures, yeah, sure.
So, okay, do me a favor. No. Sandra, retext it. Do we on our text line, do we get pictures?
Well, we do.
We can.
Okay, yeah, retext the picture.
That wasn't smart.
We don't want to open Pandora's box of pictures, though.
All right, I'll go ahead and do it right now.
Yeah, 800-990-1047. So, Roxanne, you get a little gold star. Yeah, he's confirming that you're correct.
Never know when that trucking knowledge will pay off.
Now the history of the lot lizard, please.
Sandra said... Roxanne, were you once a lot lizard?
Is that where you learned all this? Days of working the lot.
Hey, Sandro, you know what a lot lizard is, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. You find them all the truck stops in Florida.
All right, so for those that don't know what a lot lizard is, why don't you explain to our listeners, in clean terms, what is a lot lizard?
Lady of the night at a truck stop.
There you go.
Simple.
Oh, good one.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Sandra. We'll look for the picture. Right, appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Look at that. All right, hey, Roxanne, you're 100% right. Look at that.
That's why I'm here. Fun truck facts.
For trucker knowledge.
All right.
Wow.
Well,
why she's here.
Guess what? Let me see if you're so smart. let's see if you got this one figured out, smarty pants.
Let's go.
I made a mention earlier. My tease was that the internet in your house could be screwed up by this, and I'm talking Christmas decorations. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about, Roxanne? First.
Oh, one of those. Now, do they have like an angel that's also doubles as an Amazon Echo, and it could like mess up your internet? That's my guess.
No, it's a creative guess, but no, that's okay. Not what I'm looking for. All right, Fester, would you like to guess? Coop, Froggy, anyone? Just dive in here.
I mean, does that have to do with like the electricity going to the lights or the tree?
Your internet in the house screwed up by Christmas decorations. Where am I headed?
The elf on the shelf did it.
cut the wires. He's hacked in.
I don't know. Some stupid Wi-Fi thing. Some ornament.
Well, you're with Wi-Fi, you're right. So here's the deal. There could be a problem with your Wi-Fi if you're hanging up all the metal tinsel.
Huh.
Yep.
Who the hell hangs up tinsel anymore?
Yeah, I
remember my grandmother wanted to do a tinsel tree. Every year she did it, and we'd have to put it on one piece. It was the worst.
Yeah, because the strings of popcorn never lasted with your fat butt.
So
stop eating the popcorn.
Dominic, put down the bowl.
But there's a whole list of things. So holiday tinsel, which is that stringy metal wiry stuff.
I like it.
Do they sell that anymore?
Yeah, who does that?
Like if I go to Robert's Christmas Land on Gulf to Bay over in Clearwater, right near the old Hooters, right? If I that Robert's Christmas Town or Christmas World, do they still sell old tinsel?
So
metal tinsel?
All right, I'm glad you asked. I just went online. They still sell it at Five Below. You get 1,000 strands for $1.
I'm sure Party City has
Target
it.
Has it. I mean, so yeah, it's out there if you look for it. But it is the worst Christmas tree look.
Now, if you have done your decorating for Christmas inside your house, or if you're about to, and then suddenly your Wi-Fi speed for your internets goes to hell in a handbasket, it could be your Christmas decorations that's causing this. So according to internet experts, they're warning that it's not only metal tinsel, but also if you string lights all over the place, that there are certain decorations that are electric or metallic that could be wreaking havoc on your internet Wi-Fi speed. So if suddenly it goes a whole lot slower, it could be your gaudy, horrific Christmas decorations inside your house.
Wow. If I ever go to your house and there's tinsel, I'm walking out.
This is an MJ Morning Show Christmas Wi-Fi public service announcement. The more you know. I need the more you know music. Da, 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 da. Do we have that by any chance? Coop, do you have more you know? I think we do.
This is appropriate.
Look at that.
It's nice.
Public service. All right. Speaking of public service announcements, Fester, you've got to get this woman on.
Yeah, let me do that right now.
All right. So there's a woman that called us, and this was when, which product was it, Fester, that was the great deal?
So a couple of weeks ago, it was the anniversary of the Egg McMuffin.
That's right. And they were offering the Egg McMuffin for the original, like, 1971 price of, was it like 64 cents or something?
Something like that.
It was some low, low number. And this woman calls us up, but she didn't work at McDonald's. She worked at Burger King. And now, apparently, she called Fester earlier this morning, and she's all jacked up, like she's on a sugar high, like she was
excited,
like she stuck her face underneath the Coke machine, but she's been drinking for the last 3 hours. She's all hopped up, and she's all excited. And Fester's going to try to get her on the phone.
Oh, come on. I'm getting a voicemail.
Are you really?
Yes.
Okay. But you had her lined up?
Yeah. Well, I told her I'd give her a call back shortly.
What's she all hocked up about?
Pick up your phone.
No, she's not hocked up. She's hopped up.
Oh. Yeah, what's she hacked up about?
Well, and I know why. And I saw the story last night, and I even printed the story out. It's just kind of coincidental that the woman calls Fester, and she's all excited.
Hey, Marilyn, this is Fester.
You got it? All right, put her on hold.
Hey, hold on, darling. Hold on.
Darling.
Say that?
She's a darling kind of woman.
What are you, trying to get me too'd?
Listen, with Marilyn, yes.
Why don't you call her sugar britches while you're at it?
certain women are darling women. Certain women aren't. Marilyn is.
Marilyn, welcome to the MJ Morning Show. Fester says you're all hyped up and hopped up, and you want to spread.
Oh, yeah.
why are you all hyped up?
Because when I called in, when you guys had the big order from Perry, Georgia and all that, and then the Egg McMuffin was brought up, I told them, Burger King ain't worried. Let McDonald's have their day. Well, Burger King decided to come back tenfold, because we're doing it for 37 cents, and we're doing it for 3 days, not one.
So in your face, McDonald's.
Whoa. So originally, MJ, a couple of weeks ago, we had a story about somebody who called a McDonald's and made a ridiculous order, like 1,800 sandwiches in Perry, Georgia.
I remember that. Right? Yep.
And then we talked about the Egg McMuffin being on sale, and then Marilyn called in
and said, hey, I work at a Burger King.
She ain't worried.
Right. So McDonald's celebrating the Egg McMuffin a couple of weeks ago, and they sold it for the low 1971 price, but you had to buy it on the app.
Right.
And here's Marilyn to say that Burger King is celebrating the birthday of the Whopper, and the Whopper, when the Whopper came out, I guess, in 1957?
Wow.
Yep.
That the Whopper...
And it doesn't have to be on an app. You go to the BK app, and you can do a mobile order, or it'll give you a coupon code. You can do it through my drive-thru. You can walk into the lobby as long as you got that 4-digit code on the BK app.
All right, so you got to go to the Burger King app, get the 4-digit code, and then you can get a Whopper for 37 cents. That's today and tomorrow and Sunday, 3 days?
3 days.
Holy.
You deserve a raise.
Wow, 37-cent Whopper.
Old is that?
Wow, that's how long Meryl's been working there.
That's great.
Have it your way at Burger King.
Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce. Special orders don't upset us. I remember that as a kid. Hey, Marilyn, happy birthday to the Whopper, and thanks for checking back in. And which Burger King are you at, Marilyn?
I'm on Fowler and 56th Avenue Temple Terrace.
Fowler and 56th Temple Terrace.
Hey, Marilyn, this is Fester.
Yes.
Do you remember my order?
Yes, I do. Double Whopper with cheese, heavy mayonnaise, heavy pickle, no onion.
Boom! That's it! That's the order! That's the order right there!
Heavy
that's the
mayonnaise.
Heavy mayo on everything.
Oh, yeah, I do like that.
All right, Marilyn, thanks for checking back in.
You got it.
Have a great weekend, man. That's great.
I told you.
All right, when we get back, folks, stand by. In minutes. First of all, I got to slap myself. I forgot something from yesterday's show. I felt bad about it. I need a minute to correct a grievous error, an omission on yesterday's show. And then we're going to get right into Alec Baldwin. We've got full analysis of Alec Baldwin on ABC last night with the George Snuffleupagus special. Hold on. Next, MJ Morning Show Q105. You don't want to miss this. Trust me.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
Hey, Alec Baldwin, do you like Roxette?
No.
Oh, come on, Alec.
No.
Come on, Roxette. And you know, I think she died recently. Didn't she die?
Cancer?
Yeah, Roxette passed away.
Can I mention that you've brought this up the last 4 times we've played a Roxette song?
Yeah, I think we only have a couple of them. Well, what do we play? We play The Look. We got that one. And then there's It Must Have Been Love.
But it's over now.
But it's over. But we don't play Joyride. Hello, you fool. I love you.
That's our best song.
Coming, something's the Joyride, right?
Yeah. Gonna write it. What?
All right. It is the MJ Morning Show. This is Q105. And before I get into Alec Baldwin, now we've got a whole segment planned. We're going to take your phone calls on this. I want to know what you thought of Alec Baldwin on ABC last night with George Stephanopoulos. So we're going to take phone calls on this. So you can call in just a bit, 800-990-1047. We pulled what we thought were the pertinent audio bites from Alec Baldwin being interviewed about the tragedy on the movie set. And we'll analyze his demeanor, the ABC presentation in just a second. But first here at 7:59, almost 8 o'clock, I have to address a very serious, grievous omission on yesterday's program. I cannot believe that I forgot this. I can't believe.
Okay.
Now, Fester, you also made a mention during the commercial break that you also wanted to point out something we missed on yesterday's show. And I'm just curious if you and I are talking about the same thing.
Well, by midday, I realized something or I saw something that alerted me to a fact that I wish I would have brought up during the morning show.
And I as well wish that I had spent some time on this on yesterday's program. And I didn't even know. And I saw something just after the show. We had already gone.
Okay, what is it?
Calm down. We had gone to commercials. We had said, hey, goodbye. It's the MJ Morning Show. We'll see you tomorrow. And we hit commercials and it was like the second commercial. I'm like, oh my God. Cause I was looking at my phone and I saw it. I'm like, well, how did we miss this?
I can't believe we did either.
Wait a minute. How do you know we're talking
because
about the same thing?
You gave a clue that you looked at your phone.
All right.
And I figured it out around 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
I figured it out at 9:47.
Okay, so
after we were said goodbye for the day yesterday.
So we equally figured it out after the show.
If we're talking about the same thing.
Okay.
All right, let's do a little 3-2-1 countdown. And, you know, like you do in rock, paper, scissors or something, you know. All right. So let's just blurt out what it is that you think we're on the same page about.
It's going to be a mess.
All right. Hold on. No, Roxanne, you're not. I don't think you don't know.
Yeah, I want to play. Let me play.
It's not open.
Is I want to play.
No, this isn't a hodgepodge of everybody speaking at the same time.
I want to play.
We do that normally.
All right. Now, let's just Fester do this one.
Okay.
Okay.
No, do the 3-2-1.
All right. So everyone wants to do it.
They're going to ruin it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's the deal. I'm gonna do a 3-2-1. So what did I forget to talk about on yesterday's show? In 3-2-1.
Paper.
Britney Spears.
What? I thought we were playing rock, paper, scissors.
That was my guess.
Hold on. What did you say, Rock?
Paper. So I.
What are you talking about?
Because I thought you said we were going to play rock, paper, scissors.
Wait, what?
Oh, my.
You said that.
My guess was better than that.
No.
And I just burped.
What did you say, Froggy?
I said this.
Come on. Fester, what did you say?
Yesterday's date was a palindrome. 1202021.
No. So is today, and so is the next day, and so is every day up until the 10th of December.
We're in palindrome.
So who cares?
We're in palindrome week.
That's not what I'm talking about.
But it's also an ambigram.
My guess is the best so far.
Four numbers, reverse yesterday, not today.
So, Roxanne, when I said I was just drawing, you thought we were playing rock, paper, scissors?
Because you said that.
Am I closest?
Hang on.
Far the closest.
All right, what did I say?
Blah, blah.
What did I say?
Blah, blah.
You don't even know what I...
Over Froggy's burp, I couldn't hear anybody.
I said Britney Spears. We missed the fact that Britney Spears turned 40 years old yesterday. Yesterday was Britney Spears' 40th birthday.
All right, my guess was better than that.
What was your guess again? Come on.
Oops, he did it again.
Good for... Yeah, that's right, she's 40. They celebrated with her on a private jet. They probably did it.
I just felt bad. Britney Spears, 40 years old.
And good for her.
Moving along.
She looks great.
Alec Baldwin sits down with George Stephanopoulos.
You need dramatic music.
Well, we have it. They put dramatic music under every single one of these audio bites.
It's the best. You need it. You really need it for the situation.
All right, let's talk about Alec Baldwin. Folks, if you want to get... I would love to talk to you, the listener. I'd love to have you, the MJ Morning Show listener, also weigh in and let us know what you thought of Alec Baldwin on ABC. Do you buy it? What observations do you have? Do you think he's being sincere? Do you think he was really crying? What stood out? 800-990-1047. That's how you get in. 800-990-1047. All right. I got a bunch of cuts pulled here, and I don't know if I'm going to play all of them, but just let's start with the observations. All right. First of all, George asks Alec Baldwin, why are you speaking out?
Alec, thank you for doing this. You haven't said much in public since that tragic accident. Why speak out now?
Well, I think that there's a criminal investigation. That could be a while. There's all kinds of civil litigation. And I felt there were a number of misconceptions, most of it from sources I really wouldn't concern myself about, but a couple that I did concern myself about where there were these authoritative statements about this is what happened. The sheriff's department hasn't even released a report to the DA yet. The reason I wanted to sit down with you is because I really feel like I can't wait for that process to end in February.
All right, now...
It's a little selfish.
Obviously, Alec Baldwin and his lawyers... They decided to roll the dice and say that he could affect the public relations angle effectively. They thought that Alec being an actor could probably pull off whatever spin they wanted to put on the story. is what I'm thinking.
March? I mean, I'm not asking them to speed it up for my benefit. That's ridiculous. But I am saying that they're going to do what they need to do. And I wanted to come to talk to you to say that I would go to any lengths to undo what happened. I would go to any lengths to undo what happened.
I think the big question, and the one you must have asked yourself 1,000 times, how could this have happened?
Well, there's 2 things I want to say about that. One is that when I talk about this, my concern is that I don't sound like I'm the victim. Because there is a victim. There's a woman who died. And my friend got shot.
Now, that's lawyer talk right there. You know
that. He messed up.
Hold on a minute. What do you mean?
He said, I'm concerned that I don't sound like the victim, which means he wants to sound like the victim.
Negative.
It's a fraudulent, what is it? Fraudulent slip.
All right, now.
What?
I'm not going to hone in. I'm not going to deduct points on that one.
What?
Hang on. But the bottom line here is that you know that Alex's lawyer said to him, you have to make it clear that the woman, Helena Hutchins, the cinematographer who lost her life, the husband lost the wife, the 9-year-old kid lost the mother. You got to make sure that you don't try to turn yourself into the victim here. You know the lawyer said that.
Number one rule, crisis management, humility. He totally sounded pompous at the beginning when he's like, most people who are talking about this, who I don't care about their opinion. Number two rule of crisis management, don't pronounce the first R in February. It's February, not February.
Is that a rule?
Is that really a rut?
Then they're talking about when you're like pointing a gun at the camera, and they're just getting into some of the details.
So if you're shooting directly into the camera lens, you're not aiming.
I'm not shooting into the camera lens. I'm shooting just off.
Just off.
Right, in her direction. I'm holding the gun where she told me to hold it, which ended up being aimed right in below her armpit, was what I was told. I don't know. This was a completely incidental shot, an angle that may not have ended up in the film at all. But we kept doing this, and it was so that I said to her, now in this scene, I'm going to cock the gun. I said, do you want to see that? And she said, yes. So I take the gun and I start to cock the gun. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I said, do you see that? She goes, well, just cheat it down and tilt it down a little bit like that. And I cock the gun. I go, can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? And she says, and then I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off. I let go of the hammer of the gun and the gun goes off.
All right, so that answers the question that we were asking yesterday with the early audio bite and video that ABC released where Alex said, I didn't pull the trigger. I didn't pull the trigger. I never pulled the trigger. We're about to get into that. Now we know, and I said, there's got to be more. ABC has cliffhangered us here. Cliffhanged us. They pulled a cliffhanger, and there's more to the story. And, of course, we got the payoff last night. He's claiming that he pulled the hammer back, and that then snapped back and fired the round. But there should have never been a live round. There should have been a dummy or a blank in there. There should have never been a live bullet. So even if the hammer was pulled back and somehow it released without pulling the trigger, which we don't know.
Just the pressure of it rubbing against the thumb, or he voluntarily lifted his thumb to release the hammer?
Who knows? It's an older piece.
There's too many, sir. It's too many accidents for this. This has to have been a setup because he accidentally shot the gun. There's accidentally a bullet in the gun. There's like so many things that. Had to have been a setup.
A lot of accidents happen that way.
Right, but that many accidents and one thing, and it just turns out somebody gets shot.
All right, I'm going to go to phones here in a minute.
You know?
If you want to weigh in, what are your thoughts on Alec Baldwin's demeanor? No, do you think that Alec Baldwin did a good job last night? You think he helped matters? Did he hurt matters? What stood out to you if you watched the Alec Baldwin interview? 800-990-1047. 800-990-1047. Back to phones here in just a moment.
That was the moment the gun went off.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger.
No, that was the tease where he says, you know, I never pulled the trigger. So
script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them. Never. Never. That was the training that I had. You don't point a gun at me and pull the trigger.
And that's, of course, where the comes from. All right, next. When police arrived, he makes this crazy revelation. This is unbelievable. Listen to this.
Within 15 minutes or 20 minutes after that, the police arrived and took the church set and put the crime tape around it, the yellow tape, and forced us all to the perimeters of the parking area where we sat and waited. She was in the church, and she was not taken out of the church for quite a while.
In the aftermath, there was chaos and confusion.
But nobody told you what happened?
No. It wasn't until I was in the police station. Hours later, I mean, it was like seeing aliens. It was utter disbelief over the idea. It was unacceptable, the idea that it was a live round. And finally, one of the police officers, at the conclusion of my interview, I was there for like an hour and a half or so, she takes her phone and she slides it across to me. She says, "That's what came out of Joel's shoulder, a .45 caliber slug. It was a real bullet."
Had you known that Joel had been hit?
No one had any idea until that police officer, that sheriff's officer, said to me, "This is the slug, .45 caliber slug they took out of Joel's arm."
Wow.
And then the kind of insanity-inducing agony of thinking that someone put a live bullet in the gun.
And then some of the interview has like this dramatic, pounding, pulsing music. I mean, you hear the music? I mean, ABC's
really... agony of thinking
that
someone put a live bullet in the gun.
Well, that's setting up a whole conspiracy right there.
Well, you know, again...
That might be what he's trying to do.
Is that what they're trying to do? All right, let's go to phones in a moment. Your thoughts on Alec Baldwin. There's still a few more to play. 800-990-1047. We'll go to phones here in just a second. Then, they're talking about people calling Alec Baldwin an idiot, not supposed to point the gun on the set, but listen to what he does here.
People said to me, I mean, I got countless people online saying, you idiot, you never point a gun at someone. Well, unless you're told it's empty, and it's the director of photography who's instructing you on the angle for a shot we're going
to
do.
I see. Now, here's where he appears to be putting all the blame on her, that she told him exactly what to do.
And she and I had this thing in common where we both thought it was empty, and it wasn't. And that's not her responsibility. That's not my responsibility. Whose responsibility is remains to be seen. But sure, I do.
Well, there are some who say you're never supposed to point a gun at anyone.
Listen, George Clooney was on some podcast, I think Mark Maron's podcast. George Clooney went after Alec Baldwin and called him out.
A lot of celebrities have come forward. Yeah. They always check their gun.
Exactly.
Make sure something's a blank.
George Clooney said that's what he does.
No matter what.
Unless the person is the cinema.
Let me run that back. Hang on a minute. Let me.
At anyone on a set, no
matter. Let me run that one.
Gun. At anyone on a set, no matter what.
You're not supposed to point the gun at anyone on the set, no matter what.
Whose responsibility is remains to be seen. But
sure, there are some who say you're never supposed to point a gun at anyone on a set, no matter what.
Unless the person is the cinematographer who's directing me where to point the gun for her camera angle.
See, he's...
No, he did point it at her.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. I've seen 1,000 movies where they point a gun at somebody. Okay, I don't believe that what George just said. Almost every movie with guns, they point it at somebody.
Yeah. At the end of Reservoir Dogs, there's four people pointing four guns at each other.
You point guns at people in movies. Okay, I get that.
But you check the gun.
It was Alex's responsibility to check the gun.
And it was Alex also.
Alec.
It was Alex.
Alec apostrophe.
It was...
Sorry.
That's exactly what happened. That day, I did exactly what I've done every day on that movie.
Which is what?
Which is that there's an armorer there, and that word is new to me. In the years I've been in this...
What did you call it?
It was a prop guy or woman.
He is trying to totally divert any blame. He is trying to decouple any responsibility that he would have. And he's doing it on multiple levels here. All right, phones are loaded. I want to go to calls here in just a second. But he is trying to reduce any liability. He's trying to take our eyes off of him. And he's trying to even shift the blame to the dead woman. It's what it sounds like.
He's insulting the armorer by calling him a prop person? Prop guy? Right, hey, prop
now,
guy!
What is the responsibility of the person that's acting?
From day one, there's one person that's supposed to make sure that what is in the gun is right and that is what's wrong is not in the gun. One person has that responsibility to maintain the gun.
And what is the actor's responsibility?
I guess that's a tough question because the actor's responsibility going this day forward is very different than it was the day before that. Yeah, now I can't. First of all, I can't imagine I'd ever do a movie that had a gun in it again. And I can't. When you say what is the actor's responsibility, the actor's responsibility is to do what the prop armorer tells him to do.
See, so the
passing the buck.
The armorer blaming the cinematographer. All right, next. Where did the live round come from? Where did this come from is what he's asking.
And the issue with that is there's only one question to be resolved. Only one. That is, where did the live round come from?
And then follow up on that.
I don't want to see anybody suffer unnecessarily. I feel terrible what's happened to Hannah. I do. I feel horrible what happened to Halls. I do. I mean, this is something where, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, someone put, the investigation's going to find out, but someone put a live bullet in a gun. A bullet that wasn't even supposed to be on the property. And this is the thing I hope that the sheriff's department doesn't give up on, that they follow this to the ends of the earth. Where did that bullet come from?
All right, that's a fair question. Now, why was there a live round? We've been saying that from the beginning. There should have not been a live bullet anywhere near that set.
Right.
Now, Froggy, a couple of your observations before we go to phone calls. You were kind of taken aback that he was talking about my career.
Yeah, at one point he started crying because he didn't cry. He cried one time when he was talking about the woman. And then he started crying when he started talking about his career and how much he loved it. And it almost seemed like he was thinking that his career's over because of this. I don't know if it is or not. If he's just going to do rom-coms with no guns.
And then this one about he thought that she had a heart attack.
When she fell over.
All right, listen.
I was told I was handed an empty gun. If there were cosmetic rounds, nothing with a charge at all. A flash round, nothing. She goes down. I thought to myself, did she faint? The notion that there was a live round in that gun did not dawn on me till probably 45 minutes to an hour later.
45 minutes to an hour?
Well, she's laying there and I go, did she hit it by wadding? Was there a blank? Sometimes those blank rounds have a wadding inside.
Okay.
That packs, it's like a cloth that packs the gunpowder in. Sometimes wadding comes out and can hit people and it could feel like a little bit of a poke. But no one could understand, did she have a heart attack?
Okay, I just got poked. If I have a gun in my hand and it goes bang, and somebody goes, I don't. Well, do they have a heart attack?
Probably not.
You stroking out, dude?
And then he's asked whether he felt responsible.
Do you feel guilt?
No. I feel that there is. I feel that someone is responsible for what happened, and I can't say who that is, but I know it's not me. I mean, I honest to God, if I felt that I was responsible, I might have killed myself. Whoa. If I thought I was responsible. I don't say that lightly.
He doesn't say that lightly.
Stupid questions like that, you little Oompa Loompa George.
I'll shoot you, Stephanopoulos.
Come here, I'll smack that wig off your head in 2 seconds.
Stephanopoulos doesn't have a wig.
No, let me test it. Come here. Now, it's real. It's real.
And then finally, before I go to calls on this final bite here, about changes need to be made.
What do we come out of this learning? What do we come out of it? What changes can be made? Because where you have a person where, as I said, this is one in a billion that someone puts a real bullet in the gun. That never happens. And the idea that a real bullet was in that gun and would come out of that gun and kill that woman, that was not even in the realm of possibility. And that's the thing that they must find out is who brought bullets onto the set.
And remember, there was an investigation now. Yep. They went to this prop company where they thought that bullets could have come from, and they're trying to see if the ammunition matches. Where the light, that's where it comes from. All right, let's go to phones on this. Tina is in Riverview. Tina, do you believe Alec Baldwin? Did he make matters worse or better? What are your thoughts on the Alec Baldwin interview?
Well, I think he's making things worse for himself because, first of all, why is he out in the open, on TV, doing interviews when he's not even in court yet? Now, you know, the jurors, when this does, and if it does go to court, what are these people, they're going to already have a thought in their mind, and they're going to already have an idea of which way it's going to go. He shouldn't even be on TV doing interviews yet.
Yeah, and obviously his lawyers gave him a green light, or maybe they didn't. He just said, I'm doing it anyway. Good call. Thank you. How about Izzy in Plant City? Izzy, you're on the MJ Morning Show, Q105. Hello.
Hi, my darling. How are you?
We're doing well.
Listen, here's my opinion. You know what they say, everybody has them, but I think that, you know, he probably didn't mean to kill the woman. Let's say it that way. But does he care? No. He has no guilt. He's privileged in his life. He's not going to give the answer everybody's looking for. He's an actor, after all.
He is. And, you know, Michelle and I talked about that last night, that, man, he is acting beautifully here. But you know what?
God.
Now, Izzy, I do think that he does feel guilt. I think he has.
Why would he say that?
He said he didn't, not me.
Well, because he's trying to deflect. He's totally trying to deflect it and trying to reduce any responsibility or liability that he has. All right, let me grab Ken in Tampa. Ken, you're on the MJ Morning Show. Hi, quickly.
Hey, how's it going, man? I have an idea, but, I mean, it's just you know, just my thought. But who's to say he wasn't nailing this girl and she had something on him and he wanted to put her out? And he's been an actor and he knows all these little tricks.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a hell of a conspiracy that Alec wanted to take her out and she had something on.
He's such a slime ball anyway. He's a hothead. It's a matter of record.
No, he is a hothead. You're right. He is a hothead. That's true. Hey, thanks for the call, Ken. That's a hell of a conspiracy.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wait for some more information from the police before I start thinking conspiracies.
All right. Hey, guys, when we get back in minutes, an urban legend that has now come true. You know those crazy stories that are like the internet rumor stories?
Right.
Oh, geez. All right. One of them apparently has occurred. I'll explain, and a whole lot more next here on the MJ Morning Show.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show, Q105, a loaded chunk of the show here, including, Fester says, a must-do, a cover of a very famous song, which kind of cheesy, but still, Fester says that he is going to hit me if I don't play this cover song from somebody who is very well known in modern music. There's a cover version.
I like to see this kind of stuff. I like to see artists in different lights.
Right, hold on a second. And then how can you score a free drink every time on the airplane? So, you know, and the airlines are going back to serving alcoholic beverages, you know, a lot of them. Not all. Some are going to push it into 2022, but interesting. But first, a couple of things here. An urban legend, and then we'll do the chicken tender shortage. There's like a big scare out there. And the Today Show did a whole segment on the chicken tender shortage of 2021. It's about to get real.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, hang on, I got that sound. The chicken shortage story of 2021 into 2022. This stuff's about to get real.
I didn't know we needed the dun-dun-dun both times. But the price of dino nuggets have jumped up.
All right. And first, though, we'll get into chicken tenders in just a second. Big, huge problem. But first, urban legends. These are, you know, the stories that circulate. They permeate. The internet help propel these stories. Off the top of your heads, guys. What, like, stories, like terrible things or stories about, wow, that happened and it was circulated on the internet, or people were circulating emails, hey, warning, reports of this are happening. what comes to mind of over the years of some of these stories that were either email urban legend, internet urban legend, anybody, Frog, you want to fire it off? What stories can you think of?
Two girls, one cup?
All right. I just dumped that.
Well, in his defense.
Why did you dump that?
In his defense, I can only think of perverted ones myself.
I just dumped that.
Am I thinking of the wrong thing here? What are you asking for?
Internet urban legend stories. God. Like.
A kidney. I'm going to cut out your kidney, take out, and get drunk with you.
That's
wake up in a bucket of ice.
That's a good
example.
Or the
hotel person waking up with their toothbrush or your toothbrush and their...
Okay, now...
You leave your camera and your toothbrush in a hotel room.
Yeah, now we're talking. So Roxanne's talking about the kidney story where somebody gets drunk, they wake up the next morning, they're groggy, they awake in a bathtub. In a bathtub filled with ice. And then on the mirror, scrawled in lipstick, it says, call 911. Then they notice they've got a pain on the side and their kidney was removed.
My kidney.
Urban legend story. Another example, who said something else?
Said the hotel room with the toothbrush and the camera.
Right. So another one of those stories was that tourists come back from vacation, they develop their film, and they saw a picture that was taken with their camera by housekeeping in the hotel, and they took the toothbrush and they put it up their butt.
But we're not going to dump that.
Pretty descriptive.
He's just stating facts.
All right. Another urban legend story is...
Those are old school
I remember one that on a college campus, a guy was asking girls to sniff a bottle of perfume or cologne and it would like knock them out.
Yep, that's another one.
How about the HIV needles and the gas pumps?
What did you just say?
Oh, was I close? Get the... Yes! What did I win? $100?
No, after
1,000?
You've gotten dumped.
I was about to give one more example, like, don't flash your high beams at an oncoming car if they're...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's a gang initiation. They get to turn around and murder you, you know?
Oh, yeah, I never knew about that one.
Oh, that's enough. But no, you're right.
My guess is because I still check gas pumps for that.
Needles. There were a couple of needle stories when they had payphones still. Don't put your finger in the payphone return coin slot or vending machines. Don't put your finger in vending machine or payphone coin returns because people were putting needles in there. And as Froggy just said, there was an urban legend. This was going around in email and on the internet that somebody was putting needles on gas pump handles. So you'd go to the gas station, grab the gas pump handle, and you'd get stuck with a needle. Well, guess what? A needle device. Hang on, that was a hiccup. A needle device was hidden in a Chicago area gas pump, according to cops. Listen to this. While attempting to pump gas in suburban Chicago Ridge, a man found a needle device hidden in the nozzle. According to a Facebook post from the Chicago Ridge Police Department, just in the Chicago area, the man was at a Shell gas station. When he went to squeeze the trigger on the gas nozzle and felt a prick on his finger, the guy got poked.
Oh.
The man found a needle device on the handle as well as an unknown white substance in the hollow area behind the needle and an adhesive substance holding the assembly to the trigger of the gas pump. Officials said the man was taken to an area hospital for evaluation and was asymptomatic for any kind of exposure to whatever. I don't know if they hit him with... If you're exposed potentially to HIV, isn't there some kind of like they can blast you with some drugs quickly?
No, that's rabies.
Yeah, I was watching cops...
Maybe also, but I think also they can hit you with some medication.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was watching Cops one time, and there's this crazy episode where a cop is checking a guy, and he gets poked by the guy's needle. And another guy runs over and does, like, spray some stuff on his
finger. I saw that episode.
Dude, that was crazy.
Yeah.
He goes, what did I just get stuck by? He goes, my needle. Also, what do you use it for? Heroin.
You remember the cops episode where we were sort of in the episode?
Well, the guy was wearing the shirt?
No. Well, there was an episode that was shot with the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office when cops used to come here a lot. The cops. Filled with men and women of law enforcement. All suspects innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Yeah, we're a real hotbed for that kind of entertainment.
Oh, absolutely.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? Yeah,
so there was tons of episodes of cops shot here. And there was some kind of like big disturbance. The cops go in the house. The house is a disaster. It's like a house out of Hoarders. And they go into a bedroom and there were FLZ stickers stuck on the furniture.
On the drawers.
Exactly. Our old MJ Morning Show radio station for many years.
That's funny.
The house was a wreck. It was like the worst white trashy house you've ever seen in your life. And we got our stickers. We're seen on cops.
Well, I'm a big fan of Jeff Thomas.
Exactly. Dave Mann.
Dave Mann's great. That tan's amazing.
So, all right, moving along. The chicken tender problem. Now, we've all heard about the supply chain issues and meats and Thanksgiving. We were warned, could there be shortages? And, we know that shelves in many places. I went to a Walmart like a month ago, and Walmart, there were a lot of empty spaces. It seemed that just before Thanksgiving that the shelves looked better at Walmart, but I've seen some empty spots. But now, this is like the second or third time that we're hearing about chicken and chicken tenders. And the Today Show even did a story yesterday about supply chain crisis now threatening chicken tenders. This is from the Today Show website from NBC. It's enough to strike terror into the hearts of all parents whose children can't get enough of this dinner time favorite. Chicken tenders are the latest item affected by supply chain issues during the pandemic, which experts say may mean higher prices for them at the grocery store and restaurants. The tasty kids staple, this is not just kids, adults love chicken tenders.
But yeah, of course, everybody does.
I don't want to confuse chicken tenders with chicken nuggets.
But what they're saying, though, is that tenders are joining like maple syrup. That's another one. There's warnings about, maple syrup is going to be in short supply. And wine and liquors, short supply. And takeout containers and coffee cups. The point is that Today Show did a big scare story on chicken tenders yesterday. Chicken tenders, which are the smaller fillet of a whole chicken breast, require more processing to package and sell than chicken nuggets, which are made of scrap meat.
That's right. So chicken nuggets that you see, it's just like kind of the leftover. But the tender is essentially its own piece of chicken.
The price of a value pack of chicken tenders has gone up nearly $1 per pound since the same time last year, from $3.02 to $3.99 on average. Major chains have changed their marketing plans to omit tenders from promotions, according to the Today Show. You know what? There is only one person I need to call regarding any potential chicken tender shortage emergency.
His name starts with an N.
Yes, it does.
Who?
Got to call Nick Reeder, the CEO of PDQ.
I was thinking of the...
What?
What's the old man from the poultry chicken place?
Colonel Sanders?
No.
Frank Perdue?
Mr. Perdue.
Frank Perdue? Frank Perdue?
That's who I was thinking.
I'm calling up Nick Reeder. Nick Reeder is the CEO of PDQ.
This is Frank Perdue. Hello.
Hello?
Nick Reeder, MJ Morning Show Live. Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
Did you just listen to our setup by any chance?
I did. Wonderfully done. It was a wonderful setup.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's a little bit much, Nick.
The Today Show with another like chicken tender shortage scare story yesterday. What's the real deal since PDQ buys high-quality chicken for the tenders, always fresh? What's the story?
Yeah, I can tell you, I know we a little bit touched on this last year when there was a bit of a story came out, but, chicken's gone from on average, say our 10-year average is about $2.40 for a pound of tenders. We're up to $4.31, and that's if we can even get it. And I can tell you, and we do fresh, not frozen, so we can't keep the inventory some of our competitors can. And so, we've gotten down to a day's worth of chicken of possibly running out. It's been a hectic, I'd say, last quarter. We're running out of our cups. By the end of the year, we're going to have plain white cups because we couldn't get our cups. Our loved waffle fries. We're actually out of them. Our vendor called us last week and said, we're sorry, we can't get them to you for 3 weeks.
Stop. We got to talk about this. Nick mentioned this to me as well. There is a waffle fry emergency. And, of course, the waffle fries at PDQ are fantastic. All right, so what happened? The vendor that makes the high-quality specified waffle fries for PDQ, they called up and said what?
Yeah, that was my day before Thanksgiving treat. We will not have the production to meet your demands for 3 weeks, so you're going to have to switch to an alternate fry.
Wow.
Now, when does that go into effect? Has that already... are there waffles?
We're days away, so you'll see it in some stores as early as Saturday and some stores as late as next week.
All right, so for how many weeks are you going to have to go to a regular fry before you can go back to the waffle fry?
I'm hoping possibly three. So we're just trying to make light of it and say we're not waffling on our waffle fries. But unfortunately, due to COVID, we can't provide waffle fries.
All right, so why did the supplier say that the waffle fries are not going to be able to be supplied for a couple of weeks? What was their explanation?
You know, COVID, labor, but, you know, it's strange to me is when we were at the worst of COVID in a shutdown last year, in March, it didn't seem to have the same issues we're facing right now. So whatever is going on, you hear different things, but, you know, it's made in the U.S., so this can't be a shipping things. I know some things you read, hey, people can't get stuff off ships. I know that's some of the issue with our cups, but this is, seems to me to be a labor thing right now. It seems like people aren't going back to
supply
work.
Supply chain stuff.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because maybe it originated because of the pandemic, but it's been ongoing. Have you had any issues with produce? I went to one restaurant and they were out of tomatoes.
Well, you know what? Crab, if you go anywhere, like there's a little place I love, Devil Crabs, and they don't sell them. And I asked them, I said, you're not out of crab. They said, no, but it went from $3 a pound to $20-something dollars a pound. So there's like a lot of mom-and-pop vendors. You know, they can't take that on the chin, that kind of price increase. So you're seeing a lot of commodities, produce, different things just being honestly taken off menus. Anything you can get if you pay the right price. Like I asked our fry supplier, I said, if Amazon wanted these fries, could they get them? And they said, well, probably. So, I mean, there is a certain number you could throw at any problem and solve it. But it's getting to the point where, you know, chicken prices have doubled, and we're not going to double. I think we added 2.5% to our pricing this year. I mean, we're not going to make our guests eat that kind of increase. But I can tell you, our food costs traditionally run in the 31% area. We're at 39-40%. I mean, that's on a $100 million company. That's the difference in making money and losing money for the year.
That's incredible. So cups, the chicken. Now the chicken supply. Do you foresee any interruption with the high-quality tenders that you buy?
No, I mean, it's a challenge, but we just are having, hopefully, to keep paying our way out of it to get what we want. But it's a challenge. I would have told you 3 months ago I would have never run out of anything, so I don't want to arrogantly tell you no. It's tight, but I'm hoping because of what we're doing is a very specific tender. We actually use the tenderloin, not a cut-up breast, so it's a very specific piece of the chicken that I think we're the only drive-through restaurant in America using that's on a national scale.
Yeah, I mean, you're using the highest quality part of the chicken breast in the tender. It's never frozen. Other chains use frozen chicken, and, you know, the specs are higher, so maybe it gets a little tougher. All right, Nick, I appreciate you coming on, man, and, you know, but also the price of the high-quality chicken from going from $2.40 a pound up to over $4 a pound, that's dramatic.
It is, and I think that's when you hear everybody say, hey, support your local restaurants, you know, do what you can. I think, you know, the one nice thing is the guests have been great, you know, sales have been good, we've been blessed. So, you know, we appreciate all the Tampa community supported us great, and we can keep doing what we're doing and hopefully get through this together.
Well, go ahead. Listen, PDQ is based right here in Tampa Bay, so support your local PDQ, 16 Tampa Bay area locations. Nick, good to have you on, buddy. And, of course, full disclosure, I've been an investor in PDQ since 2011, and I love the concept, and I asked to join, and Bob and Nick were kind enough to take me in. So, Nick, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Love you guys. See you guys.
See you guys. Bye, guys. Full disclosure, I have been an eater of PDQ since 2011.
Since 2011. Yes.
Full disclosure, right. I drink the sauces from PDQ. Is that good?
with a straw. Mm-hmm. Right?
Which would allow me to call this a grade A chicken. but my standards wouldn't. This chicken is skinny, it has scrapes and hairs. The fact is, my graders reject 30% of the chickens government graders accept as grade A.
Was this Country Fried movie?
No, it's that was Frank Purdue. Who's playing Frank? Was
that it's Frank Purdue?
Who was Fester? Did you play that?
I typed it into YouTube when Froggy said it.
Yeah. I didn't even know that. I want to hear that again. That was great. He's ripping on that chicken. All right, this chicken plain sucks ass. Right.
That was Frank Purdue.
There we go.
Holding up a scrawny, awful chicken.
Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go. This would allow me to call this a grade A chicken, but my standards wouldn't. This chicken is skinny, it has scrapes, and hairs. The fact is, my graders reject 30% of the chickens government graders accept as grade A.
It has hairs.
That's why it pays to insist on a chicken with my name on it. If you're not completely satisfied, write me, and I'll give you your money back. Who do you write in Washington?
Frank Purdue's the man.
Love Frank Purdue.
Frank Purdue, man.
This chicken has hairs. This chicken has hairs.
It's like he described Roxanne.
Faster.
Couple of scrapes. It has hairs. But Roxanne's grade A. She's grade A, baby.
What are you saying?
Hey, Roxanne's a little skinny.
I'm not skinny like scrawny.
Not scrawny skinny, but you could stand 10 pounds.
What are you saying? All right.
Okay, skinny shamer.
Oh, you're skinny.
Coming from
you're,
this guy.
You're skinny shaming Roxanne?
I'm just saying.
Call him a fat ass, Rox.
Saying she looks a little dehydrated.
Oh, she does. Roxanne looks great. What are you talking
She's
about?
Beautiful.
Her stalker's going to kick your ass.
All right. Fester said that if I didn't play this cover song on today's show before the weekend, that Fester was going to physically attack me.
I don't resort to violence often.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you're a big, cumbersome, oafy kind of guy who's somewhat intimidating.
Let me tell you about somebody
You don't use that, and you don't threaten people much because you're kind of a big, puffy, you know, Michelin Man teddy bear kind of thing.
I also can't fight. However,
if I
connect with a haymaker, it'll hurt.
Right.
Oh, I know.
Well, so Fester calls me up last night, said, I just sent you a link. We're playing this on the show. If you don't, we got a problem. Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters has cut a cover version of a Barry Manilow song.
What? I like Dave Grohl a lot.
All right, this is what Fester says I've got to play.
It has to be this one.
It's Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bum, bum, bum. This is Foo Fighters frontman singing to a karaoke track.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl. With yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down. Then she would merengue and do the cha-cha. While she tried to be a star, Tony always handed by across a crowded floor. They were from 8 till 4. They were young and they had each other. Who could ask for more? They fell in love.
I guess they did. They still fell in love.
Okay.
So that Dave Grohl.
I've always liked this song by Barry Manilow. Anytime I've heard it, I don't hear it often. It gets you kind of in a shoulder swinging mood.
Dave
I like
Grohl
that.
So good.
And then I see Dave Grohl singing it. I'm like, this is awesome.
I saw the Foo Fighters live. It was the loudest concert I've ever been to. By far the loudest concert I've ever been to. So damn loud.
But
I
awesome.
Couldn't even hear it.
But awesome.
But awesome, yeah.
Hey, do you want to hear some Barry Manilow trivia?
Gosh, I couldn't think of anything I want to do less.
I remember.
Only...
No, it has to do with songs.
Refer to it as fun facts, and I will listen.
Oh, geez, I hate the term fun facts.
Roxanne, never say it.
I hate fun facts. Oh, fun fact, fun fact, fun fact.
And yet, here's one about Barry Manilow.
Hang on, Roxanne knows that, and she's poking me.
She loves it. Just
she's poking me. So I'm going to blurt something out regarding another Barry Manilow song and another classic song, which I'm not going to look it up. I believe it's factual. You guys can fact check me on the fly. And if I'm right, say I'm right. If I'm wrong, you can kick my butt. Hang on. We'll do that next on the MJ Morning Show. Also, how to score a free alcoholic beverage. How to never pay for booze on the airlines. Supposedly, this works every single time. And the Gorilla Glue Girl, there's another update. Remember last week or 2 weeks ago, she had a rap song out? There's another update on her. Hang on. I can't even go over all the stuff we got to get to next. Back in minutes, MJ Morning Show here on Q105.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. It is 8:59 exactly. Oh, by the way, I want to run a number by you quickly, and then I've got this new piece of musical trivia that I want to roll by you. The number is 7 minutes 43 seconds. I just want to share this. I like sharing little tips with people. 7 minutes 43 seconds.
Oh, God. Jesus. Guys, Michelle even satisfied? It's like, come on.
Dude, really? You have to go? Really? I was going to ask you, what is the significance of 7 minutes and 43 seconds?
My guess.
And you got to drag it into my bedroom? Really?
Okay, hold on.
That's pretty good, actually.
MJ, in Froggy's defense, I was about to say, I thought the exact same thing.
In Froggy's world, that's about 7 minutes longer.
A 7.5 minutes longer.
I thought the exact same thing, and I was quite impressed. Like, whoa, really?
So, Jeez. 7 minutes, 43 seconds. Roxanne, you have any idea what I'm referring to?
I mean, I can't even take a guess about that. I'm sorry. 7 minutes.
Anything.
How you get your heart rate, how long it takes your heart rate to return to normal after you've exercised.
Sorry, hit the wrong button.
Oh, I thought I was getting pulled over.
No, I was just trying to hit the...
You're in better shape than that. No,
listen, a good guess, though. 7 minutes, 43 seconds. That is the time that I boil eggs to get the perfect gelatinous inside yolk.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, 7 minutes, 43 seconds. Now, it's going to vary slightly depending on egg size.
Are you still talking about doing it? Or are you really talking about eggs now?
I'm talking about eggs.
I was
never talking about doing it.
Okay. Boiling the eggs.
I was just sharing with folks that I love a hard-boiled egg, but I don't like when the yolk becomes all like chalky, and I like the yolk where it's like just slightly past the runny point and it's just kind of gooey and gelatiny. 7 minutes, 43 seconds. You guys are filthy, all right? You know?
So I was just thinking if you like them hard boiled, over easy, or.
I mean.
I'm
fertilized.
I'm just trying to offer up a nice tip here.
I'll tell you right now.
I bet you are.
Speaking of nice tips, if I was 7 minutes and 43 seconds, Allison would start smoking.
Thank you so much, Tom.
I'm just saying.
It's about time.
It's like one of Marge's sisters,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Oh, God. Yes. The fat. Oh.
All right. Now on to this little music thing. I believe I'm correct. So before the break, we played Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters doing a cover version of Barry Manilow's Copacabana. And while playing this, I made a mention, hey, you know what? I've got another Barry Manilow song and sort of an interesting piece of trivia. If you missed this from the last segment, this is Dave Grohl. Listen.
Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl. Yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down to there. She was merengue and do the cha-cha.
All right, so that's Dave Grohl doing a cover of Copacabana.
And across the crowded floor, they were from 8 till 4. They were young and they had each other. Who could ask for more?
At the Copacabana.
So, since that's a Barry Manilow cover, I just brought something else. I said, guys, you know, I've got another really fascinating piece of information regarding a Barry Manilow song, and you can determine whether this is true or false, or maybe you guys will Google it and look it up. But there is another fascinating thing regarding Barry Manilow, and another famous Barry Manilow song was...
Oh, this is...
And it... What?
I know what you're going to say.
I don't think you know. What am I going to say?
Mandy?
Yes. Looking in their eyes. So, I see a man. This, of course, is the Barry Manilow song, Mandy.
But I sent you away,
oh Mandy.
Will you kiss me and stop?
Now, this is the famous Barry Manilow song, Mandy, M-A-N-D-Y. Now, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Froggy says he...
Please.
Then what am I about to say?
Well, the fact that I sing it to my dog every day... Oh, Poppy, and you came and you ate. It's a song about a dog.
It's about a dog?
That's not what I'm about to...
Mandy's a dog?
No, really?
That's not what I'm about to talk about.
Mandy's about a dog.
No.
No, it's not.
Look it up.
No, listen, that's not even the little piece of Barry Manilow.
Really?
Yeah.
What else could it be?
I'm going to tell you right now, if you'd shut your pie hole...
Mandy about a dog.
That's... Mandy, and I'm pretty sure this is accurate. That Mandy by Barry Manilow was supposed to be Brandy. It was supposed to be, oh, Brandy. But you know what happened?
I can only think of one other song.
You know what happened? Those bastards from Looking Glass.
They did it.
Yep. Those guys from Looking Glass with this. All right. Why is it not playing?
They scooped him.
Oh, here it is. All right. So this song by Looking Glass, Brandy, made famous again by the whole galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy thing. And of course, you know, this was this in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, right?
Was it? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, this was a significant scene in Guardians of the Galaxy. And this exposed... There were tons of kids and teenagers that were exposed to this song.
My kid loves it.
They loved it. They're like 10-year-olds, teenagers. My kids love this song because of Guardians of the Galaxy. But the story here is that this song by Looking Glass, Brandy, You're a Fine Girl, from the sea.
MJ, I have an important announcement to make.
Yes.
The song is about a dog.
It is not, Mandy's not.
I'm reading it right now. Mandy is on. Larry London interviewed Barry Manilow. The singer told him personally the song was written about his beagle. It's worth noting that Manilow's fans are officially called Beagle Bagels. According to London, the story isn't.
What are you saying?
The title Mandy was the name of his dog.
That is an urban legend.
That's not true at all.
Okay. And you now, are a liar.
Now, the fact that Barry Manilow's Mandy was supposed to be Brandy, but Looking Glass had this massive hit with Brandy before the release. Barry Manilow had to change Brandy to Mandy in the song, and I believe
you're right.
Okay,
you are
that's
correct.
A lie.
Nope.
MJ is correct.
Roxanne just confirmed me.
Confirmed it on Song Fun Facts, and says that Brandy, it was originally called Brandy, and then they had to change it to Mandy to avoid confusion with Brandy or
Fine. Because the beagle died.
Wrong. Both of you are wrong. It was originally, take this one down.
No, I want to hear the hook again.
Oh, you're not the director.
This man, but Brandy does her best to understand.
All right.
Oh, can you believe it?
Originally, the song was supposed to be Randy. And after, the first recording, Barry, I don't know about this one.
So Barry was involved.
But what the hell am I going to do then? I'm trying to let Randy know. Can I come up with a different name?
All right, moving along, ladies and gentlemen.
What do you mean? Why would it be Randy?
Well, Randy... There are male Randys and there are female Randys.
Yeah, a lot of female Randys out there.
Yeah, there.
I know a bunch.
I don't know a bunch,
Randy,
but
you're a fine guy.
Boy.
What a good.
Randy, you're a fine
Barry girl. Girl Barry.
What a good person. Jason.
You're singing the wrong song. You're not singing the Barry Manilow song.
I'm just making it up. I realize that.
Yeah. All right, so how do you score a free drink on an airplane every single time?
Give up your seat.
Well, to the people
who want to sit next to each other.
That might work for you. But if you're out, yes, Coop.
I actually have a friend who used to do this, but I don't know if it's the same way that you're talking about.
All right. Now, I saw something recently from like travel experts, and they claim that this works every time. Now, if you're in first class or business class, you're going to get free alcohol anyway. That's just part of the deal. But if you're in coach, if you're in economy class, how can you virtually score a free alcoholic beverage every single time? An ex-flight attendant says how to get free drinks on a flight. Then they tested it out and it worked. Now, Coop, what is your method that you're, let's see if it comports here.
Well, I had a friend who said that if you used a credit card that was no longer in service, it would still go through on the airline because it can't connect to the bank.
No.
So she said that she used to get free drinks because she would try to use it. I don't know if it ever worked.
Oh my God, is that true?
That's a hell of a point right there. So use a bogus expired or
an inactive
closed account credit card on the airplane to charge like the $12 boxes of pretzels and salami sticks.
And then it can't batch all the transactions until the end of the night and it turns it down? Is that what you're saying, Coop?
Yeah, that's what my friend used to say. I mean, I don't know if it worked. You know, she told me that it does, but...
Oh, I am so going to try that.
Listen to the story. Airlines are constantly taking things away from legroom to free bags to the other half of your tray table. So, you know... $6 beers, for instance, is what they're putting on the table these days on the airplanes. And the story points out that, which is why my first question to a retired flight attendant, Sean Kathleen, who spent 7 years flying in and out of San Francisco and Oakland for a domestic airline, now runs the passenger shaming account on Instagram. Now, we've talked about this at passenger shaming, where people take pictures of like the worst of humanity that travel in the air.
Yeah, I've gotten to be a big fan of that.
Yeah, that's a great. It's passenger shaming on Instagram. And the question was asked. This person had a trick, a hack, a way to beat the system to get a free drink. Candy. It's candy. And here's the deal. All you have to do is give the flight attendant like a piece of chocolate. Like you have like a Hershey's Kiss, or you have a chocolate bar or a piece of Lindt chocolate or something, you know, in a little aluminum wrapper.
What? That's creepy as hell.
Listen to this. One thing I like to tell people, it's so rudimentary, is just saying hello. Are you having a good day? If you're acknowledging our existence, I swear to God, you'll be like George Clooney. That's the state of affairs up there, said Kathleen, former flight attendant. I'd be standing at the forward front door, welcoming people on board, and I started tallying on a post-it note tick marks for the number of people who would walk on, turn, and keep walking. They wouldn't even acknowledge the cabin crew. Apparently, the individual says, I've not paid for a drink on 5 straight flights, and I didn't do anything outside of saying, hey, how's it going, while boarding. So that's one way. Hey, how are you? And have a little conversation while you're boarding. So apparently that works for some people. But to guarantee getting a free alcoholic beverage on your flight, provided that your airline has returned to alcoholic beverages. Some have, some have. I don't think Southwest has done it yet.
Which is probably a good decision.
No, I think Southwest is okay. I think Spirit needs to just cancel alcoholic beverages altogether. But here's the guarantee. Bring them chocolate. Bring them candy to say thanks.
You're going to bring one of those giant Hershey bars? Here you go.
Apparently, it works every single time. Bring them, this is what the former flight attendant is saying. Bring them chocolate, bring them candy. It's a few bucks just to say thanks, or a little baggie, like a little, you know, a little bag, a little chocolate pieces.
Yeah, I really trust bag of chocolate that's open from a stranger.
Well, no, who says it's open? You give them a closed bag.
I mean, like if you have like a box of Andy's candies, they're all individually wrapped. You can
individually
tell.
Individually wrapped. Okay.
Or like some fun sized Snickers bars, which is nothing fun about those.
How about a
bars?
Handful of gummy bears that are in your hands that are nice and warm.
They stick to your hand when you open.
What's
all stuck to your
guys?
Hand.
What's that condition where people have the overactive sweat glands and their hands?
Oh, hypothyroidosis.
Yes, that their hands are always clammy and sweaty.
Yeah. You got fish hands.
So you've got clammy, sweaty hands, and you just open up your hands.
Here you go.
There's a whole handful of bear palm gummy bears.
Some of them are sticky.
I gotta say, Roxanne knew hypothyroidosis.
It's got an S somewhere in there too.
Top of her head.
Just hypothyroidosis.
Do you like Swedish fish, ma'am?
But. Listen, if you want to get free drinks, bring the flight attendants chocolate and you're guaranteed 100%. So the writer of the story said, I tried it. I bought three identical Hershey's candy bars in the San Francisco International gift shop last week on my way to a wedding. As we approached the plane, I handed them to the two flight attendants standing near the entrance. Oh, the first one said, surprised. Oh, wow. Thank you. The second one chimed in. These are for you. I appreciate you guys. I said with a smile. My heart beat just a little harder because I didn't know how they would respond. And they said, we appreciate you appreciating us. And the first returned a very cheerful flight attendant voice, sat down, took off, and then here comes the drink cart. My wife and I ordered two drinks. They said on the house. And then they tried this multiple times. Bring the flight attendant chocolate, and you're getting free drinks.
Unless all of the flight attendants are overweight, and then they're going to be offended when you hand them chocolate bars.
No way! God,
I'm on a keto diet. What are you doing?
Excuse me?
Listen, you big fat guy? Really? Call me fat?
If you get a fuller figured flight attendant and you give them chocolate,
that's so offensive.
They'd be like,
thank you. I have an available seat in first class. Oh, delicious chocolate.
Try it. If you want to try it, give it a whirl.
What if you end up spending more money on the chocolate than you would have on the drink?
It's a gamble. It's a gamble. Life's a gamble.
What if you hand them like a Tootsie Roll or something really small?
Well, then you keep ordering drinks. You get so blasted and bombed and liquored up. Maybe I shouldn't say bombed when I'm talking about airliners. You get so liquored up that you end up like taking your mask off. You get into a fight. And then you end up hitting the flight attendant that you just gave the chocolate to just an hour and a half earlier.
Aww.
Yeah. No, try, give it a whirl. See what happens. Give the flight attendant chocolate. See if you get some free drinks. All right, the Gorilla Glue Girl. Now she says that her hair is falling out in clumps.
We got to play her song. We got to play her song, please.
Do we have it? I think I found
it on
YouTube.
Yeah, you played it on YouTube.
I think I have it on YouTube.
And guys, I got a complaint via email.
From whom?
Hang on, I'll explain in a minute.
Is it who or whom?
From whom?
It from the Gorilla Glue Girl?
No, there's something else. But it would be from whom, and I'll tell you in just a minute here.
Yeah!
All right, so this is Tessa Brown, the Gorilla Glue Girl.
It's Tessica.
And Tessica.
My hair. It don't move my hair.
This is the woman that.
Leave it!
My hair. It don't move my hair.
Went in a panic. When I ran out, I had a problem. I had to use the Gorilla Glue just to solve it. Over from silk to solid. Tried to wash it with everything I could think of, but nothing was making progress. I was sobbing what to do. Couldn't comb my brush. It had me feeling like a fool. I tried to use a shop that was the Epithel too. I washed it like a dozen times. It's super getting through.
This is so good.
My hair.
It don't move my hair.
All right, guys.
So it don't move.
Oh, man, so good.
So that's the Gorilla Glue Woman, Tessica Brown.
It's like mesmerizing.
She took the country by storm earlier this year when she ran out of hair product and grabbed the bottle of Gorilla Glue, and it glued her head like a fiberglass helmet. Had to go to Beverly Hills to see that plastic surgeon that got it. Now she's saying her hair is falling out in clumps.
Oh my God. She's just nonstop with this woman.
I think there's going to be a couple of cycles before the the hair just you know regenerates.
When is she going to be interviewed for an hour on ABC by George Stephanopoulos?
So, Gorilla Glue
Girl. She's Times Woman of the Year.
She should be.
Yeah, Person of the Year.
She knows how to keep herself in the news, that's for sure.
Gorilla. Now she's claiming that her hair's falling out in clumps. So that's
my hair is falling out.
That's exactly right, Froggy. That's the next song.
Snapping, no capping, they all around me. Called an Uber driver to the doctor's in a hurry. I made it to my destination trying to block the worry. Then I met the doctor, felt relief more than I ever did. Surgery took a minute, 4 hours, I had my curls again. Big shout to Dr. Michael K. O'Bang. And I swear that I would never touch Gorilla Glue again. Because now my hair. It don't move my hair.
It's falling out in clumps.
Yeah. Come on.
It don't move. It don't move, and now it's falling out in clumps.
She's such a good rapper.
Am I the only one who just cannot get enough of her?
I love her. I hate
love
her.
No, shut up. We are no longer friends.
Sick of her.
You guys done? Can I move along?
No, I'm still.
Hang on, one more time. My hair. It don't move.
All right, now you're mocking her. Okay, so stop. That's hurtful.
All right, guys.
Froggy.
Did you know? Well, let me do the complaint first, and then I got a question for you.
Okay.
I got a complaint email. Coop, I didn't even realize this. MJ, do you realize that after you did the whole segment about Alec Baldwin's incident shooting the woman on the movie set, do you realize that after the break, the first song you played was Pat Benatar's Hit Me With Your Best Shot?
We got a lot of texts about that.
Could have been Bon Jovi.
Did you know that? We got a lot of texts.
So why? I just checked email, and this is, 45 minutes ago. Why didn't you bring this up 45 minutes ago?
Sweep that under the rug.
Crisis management.
Roxanne, no, that's so good.
Crisis management, Roxanne.
Did you just say you swept it under the rug? So, last hour we talked for like 20 minutes about Alec Baldwin playing audio from the interview last night. And this is the song we played after the commercial break, was Pat Benatar's Hit Me With Your Best Shot. And you got text and you didn't tell me?
I did.
Why would you tell me?
I handled it with everybody who texted us. I handled it. Fixer,
but,
if you will.
But mention it on the show.
There's nothing really to fix. I mean, we did it.
Alec Baldwin, do you like Pat Benatar's Hit Me With Your Best Shot?
No.
He's not a fan.
I can understand.
No.
Right, when we get back, are you guys aware of who's about to blast into space?
No.
I know who I'd like to see be blasted into space.
Seriously, do you know who's about to get blasted into space next week?
Is it like an actor or some...
Well, hold on a minute.
Seems like so in vogue.
We got a lot of loose ends. There's a lot of things that I don't want to leave on the table and, go to the weekend and then, say, oh, man, we should have talked about this. All right, the final segment of the day is next. It is going to be a phenomenal... It could be the best chunk of the MJ Morning Show of the entire week. Coming up next. Also, we have Eagles tickets. It's the Eagles Hotel California Tour. It's going to be February 28th, Amalie Arena. And we have Eagles tickets, a pair you can win next here on the MJ Morning Show on Q105. Are you giving me symbols over here? Are you signaling me, Roxanne?
We'll talk during the break.
All right.
A surprise.
Oh, you got a surprise for me? All right. I guess the surprise is coming up next. Hang on. MJ Morning Show back in a minute.
This is the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast.
MJ Morning Show on Q105. We just gave away the Eagles tickets. Hey, Coop, who won the Eagles tickets? What name? Where are they from?
Carrie from Clearwater.
Oh, fantastic. Carrie from Clearwater. Congratulations. You're going to the Eagles. And, of course, Mason Dixon will have Eagles tickets at 5:20 this afternoon. So we did them at 9:30 and then 5:20 in the afternoon. Another shot today during the proverbial drive home. All right, lot to cover. Final chunk here on a Friday. Weekend is straight ahead. Now, Rox, first of all, I'll let you usurp me. Roxanne claims to have some busting news. Hang on a minute.
That's the wrong sound effect?
Man, that's like the third time you did that today.
I'm hitting the wrong buttons on the sound effect machine. Oh, let me try it again. Nine. Breaking news on the MJ Morning Show. I have no idea what the heck this is. So, Roxanne, what is your breaking news? You're all giddy and jumping up and down.
Last night in Newport Richey at a little Italian restaurant, Tasso Italiano, guess who walked in?
I don't anybody in the world?
Jesus.
Hello, I love Italian food. I'm Jesus.
First initial J, so you're close.
Meatballs, please.
Really?
There'll be enough bread and fish for everybody.
I don't need wine. I brought water.
I don't know. Who walked?
J.B.J. Mm-hmm.
James Brown?
J.B.J.?
All right. Well, who, Roxanne?
John Bon Jovi? Your guy?
What do you mean, my guy?
Chloe's
son's father? You have to tell us that?
Chloe doesn't have a son.
And he doesn't have a father.
Exactly.
Why don't you spit it out, Roxanne?
There would be a father, but I don't even want to think of that.
John's son, Chloe's friend.
So, let me put this into an English language sentence that our listeners can understand.
Do we need punctuation in that sentence?
Chloe.
Speaking shorthand?
Chloe is, or she's having a stroke.
Chloe Fun is on Boyfriend Jovi restaurant.
Spatula.
Clamp.
Chloe is friends with John Bon Jovi's son, Jake, from Manhattan.
Exactly.
Yes.
Kind of a big deal. That was breaking news worthy.
He's here? Where? So, who says?
He was at the restaurant. He just walked in. And can you imagine that? Especially if you're like a big fan of his, and then all of a sudden he walks through the door.
All right. I see the picture. That's an old lady. Isn't it?
Are you sure? Where is
That's
this?
That's not Bon Jovi.
Where is this being reported that John Bon Jovi walked into into an Italian restaurant in Newport Richey?
Okay, I just emailed it to you. And Fox 13, for your information.
So Fox 13 has the story, mm-hmm. So I guess they confirmed it. Hang on a minute.
And he didn't call you, MJ? A nice glass of vino?
It could be an old Italian lady. I mean, from a distance, John Bon Jovi does have the same gray hair.
Oh, I thought you had the picture. I want to see
this. As my grandmother.
Hang on a minute. Let me call Chloe. What time is it? 9:37.
It is an old lady. Oh, wait.
See? That's my grandmother's hair.
No, that's John. It is. It's John Bon Jovi walked into, what's the name of the restaurant?
Italiano something.
Hi, this is Chloe. Sorry I couldn't get to the phone right now.
And I guess Chloe's in class. I was going to have Chloe text Jake, John's son, because they keep in touch. They're friends.
Okay, on Thursday night. So Thursday night, it's...
That would be last night. That'd be last night fest.
That was Thanksgiving. Yeah. Yeah, he walked into Tasso Italiano in Newport Richey.
Well, I was going to call Chloe to text Jake Bon Jovi or Bon Jovi and say, hey, Jake, was your dad in town? Can he call in to the MJ Morning Show? I think Jake's dad, John, knows that Jake's friend Chloe, my daughter, that dad's a radio guy.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. I'm sure he just looks way down upon you because of that.
Plus, this radio station plays a schnitload of Bon Jovi, contributing to all his ASCAP and BMI royalty checks that he gets.
Plus, I saw a kid get beheaded to one of his songs, so I have a connection.
No, you said that was Eddie Money.
No, it was always a John Bon Jovi.
Oh, shot through the heart, you're to blame. There goes the head.
There was you witnessed a carnival accident.
Carnival accident, kid lost his head, Bon Jovi shot through the heart, was playing at the same time, and I can't listen to that song really without getting nauseous.
That's terrible.
Take it off.
That's terrible.
Take it off. Thank you.
All right, Coop, what line am I taking here?
You're going to take 7.
All right. Hi, good morning, MJ Morning Show. Welcome. Who's this, please?
Hi, good morning. This is Carrie.
Hey, Carrie. Welcome to the MJ Morning Show. What can we do for you?
Thank you. So I understand that you have a package.
Oh, my God. How bad is this phone line? Can you hold on a minute? We're going to call you back in a minute, okay?
You operating a prop plane?
Hold on.
Yeah.
That is, you know, that's, yeah, don't use that. Use a different phone line to call him back. Yeah, I think the, I tell you, I'll put him on hold and let me just move on and I'll go back to the phone in a second. All right. Antonio Brown, big news broke yesterday that Antonio Brown, the guy that what freeloaded on Tom Brady's sofa.
Okay. He's a talented wide receiver who occasionally makes really bad decisions.
Well, apparently the latest bad decision that Antonio Brown made, he's now been suspended by the NFL for 3 games because the story was going around that he had a fake COVID-19 vaccination card. And I guess the NFL investigation showed that he did have a fake NFL or a fake COVID CDC vaccination card.
My gosh.
Yeah. So actually $2, Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards, both suspended by the NFL for 3 games after it was discovered that they misrepresented, meaning they lied about their vaccination status. And apparently Antonio Brown, the story is that he had a real CDC card, but all kinds of erroneous fake information that was written on the card.
You can't just sort of scribble on those things.
I mean, you look at it first pass, yeah, it looks believable enough. It's a real card.
Also, speaking of the Bucks, did you see that Rob Gronkowski is crediting Tom Brady for helping him quit processed sugar? And he believes that that's one reason why he's still playing at the level of play is because he's not consuming processed sugar. And TB12, Tom Brady, got him off the processed sugar. That's why Gronk is saying, man, I'm like I am right now at this age, and I'm this strong in my career because Tom Brady helped me get off the sugar.
Tom endorses Subway. Gronk endorses TB12 so that he outsources. Okay. I'm confused.
Me too.
Yes, so are we. Yes. It's Friday. It's December 3rd. Get her some smelling salts.
Show's almost over, Rox. We're done Rox, for the week.
You don't have to just say stuff to say stuff. Make sure you know what you want to say.
It's okay.
You know, all right.
Everything does.
Uh-huh. Are you smelling like burnt toast right now yet?
Smell burnt toast? Anybody else?
Any chance?
One time I was breaking down morning show theory to Roxanne, and she's giving me like the biggest deer in the headlights look. Like, what are you saying?
Uh-huh.
Every word does something.
All right, let me go back to the phones.
1, 2, or 3.
All right, we have a better line this time, Coop.
Yeah, this is Carrie in Clearwater.
Hey, Carrie, welcome to the MJ Morning Show.
Hi, good morning.
Oh,
Thank you. God,
it's 10,000% better. Go ahead.
Hey, Carrie.
Wonderful. So it's my understanding that you and I both have a package stuck in Ybor.
Yeah, so I told this story like twice on the show, I think earlier this week and maybe even last week. I ordered something from Amazon. It was not Amazon shipped and sold. It was from an Amazon vendor. It was shipped from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It arrived, my package tracked, to the Ybor City Postal Distribution Center. It was there on November 18th, the Thursday before Thanksgiving, and I've got nothing, zero. And guess what?
Same.
So I'm getting the notices, oh, your package is running late. Please give it a few more days. Then yesterday, I go to my Amazon app. It says, your package may be lost. Literally, my app said on Amazon, it said, your package may be lost. You may now request a refund from the seller, which I did. And then I got notification that the seller issued a refund. What is going on at this Ybor City U.S. Postal Service Distribution Center?
I'd like to figure that out myself. So my package also is with yours coming from Lancaster and it arrived the same time. So I believe that our mail is in the same canister over in Ybor that someone cannot locate.
That is crazy. So you're also expecting the package from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yes, exactly. And so the downside for us is that is my husband's citizenship documentation.
Son of a... Oh, my God.
So if you don't receive it by next week, we cannot go on our cruise. We have no other options. That is the only option.
Who sent it? Now, who sent it? Who mailed it?
So my brother works for the post office, and he sent it. He sent it 3 days.
Oh, man. Well, he should have known that he should have sent it FedEx or UPS.
I mean, if you work for the post office, you should know not to send it.
You should know that. You know, I heard a Postal Service employee actually say, I was at the post office in line, and I heard a customer say, well, I needed to get here by then. And the person said, you ought to send it FedEx or UPS then. I heard a Postal Service worker tell a customer that.
I was in the post office. Wow. I have a P.O. box. Wow. I was in the P.O. in the post office. And the guy's like, I'd like to get there next day. And I could audibly hear the post office worker go, okay, sure. That's what he said.
Listen, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you guys get your package, but something happened. It's like they're missing a whole truckload of mail at Ebor, and I'm getting a refund. And there it is, folks. Have a fantastic weekend. It's been a really fun week. I love the shows this week. Don't forget the show is podcast by 11 a.m. The whole show is back to back on podcast mjmorningshow.com. Also on all the major platforms. Just search MJ Morning Show on Q105, and you can subscribe. MJ TV will have multiple segments from today's show on video that you can watch from the studio view, and have a great weekend. MJMorningShow.com, MJMorningShow.com. We'll see you on Monday, folks, and let's be careful out there.
Thanks for listening to the MJ Morning Show podcast. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.